Windows or doors sticking, cracks in your drywall or brickwork, these can be signs of a structural foundation problem. PermaSeal can help with that. Free inspections, transferable warranties, financing, and peace of mind. PermaSeal, 800-421-7325 or permaseal.net.
It's going to be one of those shows.
Yeah.
Okay. We've got the Empty Pockets coming in a little later tonight.
We do.
Erica and Josh. Yes. And also a little later tonight, because a lot of people were asking about this. We said we were going to do this the last time Consumer Guides publisher Tom Appel was on with us. We said we'd talk about affordable cars, and that's going to happen a little later tonight.
Cars that are in the $50,000 range?
No,
right?
I think we're going to try and sneak below that.
Yes. He actually found some really good ones, too. So.
They still do make Red Ryder wagons, don't they?
Yes. Radio Flyers. I just saw the Radio Flyer wagon in a catalog.
They still make that, too?
Yeah. And catalogs. Oh, my gosh. This past week. Am I the only one that's getting catalogs? Bob, Keeper the Big Plug, you're not getting any catalogs? No? You're not getting any?
I forget where it was that I heard a report earlier this week where apparently we're all going to get more catalogs because the advertising industry has decided that people are ignoring spots on their websites. And they're ignoring a lot of things. But if you get something in the mail, it's more personal and you have a tendency to take a look at it.
It's also more wasteful, right? You got to kill a bunch of trees to give me the number of catalogs I got in the last week. I mean,
you got a bunch of them.
It was weird. I have shopped at some of these places in the past, but some of them are brand new to me. And I'm like, okay, who put me on this list?
Well, that's the thing I don't understand. We're getting catalogs from people we've never received
heard of
them from before.
Yeah.
Someone out there is a pretty good catalog salesman, if you ask me.
Or someone's a pretty good shopper, if you ask me. I think my rep is out there. I was saying to the guys, anybody need a 40% coupon? I got a 40% coupon. And Julian looked at me like, whoa. Yeah, I think I've got a reputation. Okay, so I was painting the front door in the middle of November. Never done that before. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable weather. Gorgeous day yesterday and today. Did you guys do anything that you've never done in the middle of November thanks to the weather? Like running around without your coat on. That's one thing.
I'm trying to think. What did we...
Go to Dairy Queen? No, our Dairy Queen just closed.
Yes. Yeah.
Closed 2 weeks ago. They're probably going, dang, why do we do that?
Oh, but then there's the problem going into some stores where the temperature is not controlled locally. It's controlled by corporate in New York, and they have decided, well, it's November, so...
I was in a store... Literally, we were walking around fanning ourselves in the store. It was so miserably hot. I felt bad for the people behind the counter. And they said, Minnesota controls the temperature. So whatever it is in Minnesota, they decide it must be that in their other stores. You actually felt like you could feel steam coming up from the floor. It was just so hot. I don't like to sweat when I'm shopping.
No. And it's not you would think that someone in corporate would realize you want to make the atmosphere as comfortable as possible to keep people in your store, to keep them buying.
Or they'll just go home and open up their computer and do their shopping that way.
Or, and this is a complaint I've had for years, and remember when we were in Penny's in Panama City Beach, I talked to the manager, and I said, okay, we like the store. But I'm sick and tired of walking past men's clothing and into women's finery or something. And there are two different musical sounds. It's this weird cacophony. Every department you went to, there was a different musical thing going on. And
you asked for the manager.
And if we're in between these departments, oh boy, will you get a headache.
And the manager said, I agree with you. I've got no control over it. Remember?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He said, I've got no control over that. You just reminded me. Last week, we talked about the fact that I had spent the day at Macy's / Marshall Fields on State Street.
And by the way, you can see pictures. Go to our blog, and you will see wonderful pictures of Johnny's trip to Macy's on State Street.
I only had a couple of complaints. One of them was, and Bob, you weren't here last week when I explained that I got a chance to eat in the Walnut Room, which is now the Marshall Fields Walnut Room. They've renamed it officially. Got the old Marshall Fields menu and everything. They do not take coinage.
Nice.
So I gave them my gift card and then the money to make it up with the 36 cents. And the girl looked at me and said, I'm sorry, I can't use that. And I'm, what? So I said, ask the manager about that. So she comes back. She goes, no, here's your 36 cents. I've got you covered. And I'm thinking, if she covers everybody's coinage throughout the day, that would add up after a while. But is it because they don't want to register? Or? But they're taking bills.
Yeah, well, bills they can figure out.
They put those into an envelope and slide it under the... I don't know.
But add to that the fact that as of this week, we're no longer manufacturing pennies.
Yes.
And now, are you going to round off to the next highest, the lowest?
If you round up to the next highest and I pay with a credit card, then... Or you round up to the lowest and I pay with a credit card, I'm paying more than you're paying and you paid cash.
And who was it? We were watching some newscast and there was some financial whiz that was saying... And you have to figure out, now, is this going to be on the taxes? Is this going to be the price? Is it
the total?
The import price? Well, where are we figuring these? Huh?
It's a penny.
What?
Yeah. I feel like we kind of jumped into that and didn't think it through, you know?
That's happened a lot.
Yeah.
We?
I know. They?
What do you mean we, Kimosabi?
But back to my other complaint. I had forgot to mention this. The loud music when you walked in the door of Macy's. And I love music, but it was loud and it wasn't Christmas music. They may have changed that. In fact, if you've been there and they've flipped over to Christmas music, let me know. Because downtown they're getting ready for the Magnificent Mile Lights Festival, which is next Saturday. So I wouldn't be surprised if they flipped it over. But man, it was loud.
And I know I've said this before, but... You guys know I love music. I love all kinds of music. But if I'm in a restaurant or any of a number of stores, give me some music that relates to the vibe of the place that I'm in. If I'm in an Italian restaurant, okay, how about some Italian music? In fact, one of our favorites, it's no longer around, but De Luciano's. Remember, they used to have wonderful...
Yes.
You felt like you were in an Italian restaurant in Italy.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. It added to the vibe. It made you want to stay longer and spend more money.
That's true. Very true. And now you maybe remember how much I miss that restaurant, De Luciano's.
Yeah.
In River Grove. It was wonderful. But I digress.
Well, along with digressing, okay, quick poll. What did you think of it? Julian, you like it?
Nope.
No? Thumbs down?
That sounds like digital hootenanny. That is 100% AI.
Bob, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Still not yet. It wasn't an enthusiastic thumbs up. It was okay.
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 All right.
Ron?
Yeah, I thought it was a good song. I know it's an AI song, but so that kind of ruins it for me. But I think it's good.
If you didn't know it was an AI song, I bet you'd be tapping your toe to it.
Yeah.
Because when I first heard it, I went, whoa. And I love a guy named Rag & Bones. I love his music. And I thought it was Rag & Bones when I heard that.
That's what I thought at first.
Are you familiar with Rag & Bones, Ron?
No, I'm not.
Oh, good stuff. He's out of Great Britain.
But this artist is called Breaking Rust. Mm-hmm. And that's called Walk My Walk. It is number one on the country charts. It is the first AI song to become number one.
Every bit of it.
And I listened. I went to, there's a YouTube page where this Breaking Rust has a lot of songs from his album. And I listened to them. And I know this is heresy, but to me, if a song is good, it's a good song. And I like what I've heard.
It's
AI. No, I'm not crazy about AI dominating the charts. I don't like that at all, but I think this is a well-done song.
Breaking Rust is the name they're using, so it would be it, not he, because it is an it. The music is artificial.
Yeah.
The music is good. If I was a performer, I would find it terrifying.
It's funky. It's country funky. I like it a lot, but
Julian called it Hootenanny. Now, Julian, did you know it was AI listening to it? Had you heard that?
Well, I knew right away. You could tell that it sounds so digital, and there's no breathing. He's not breathing.
Well, that's a good point.
But what about it gave it away? And here's why I'm asking. Because so many live performers are using vocal enhancements these days. So what about it gave it away to you?
It's just, it has like this digital mud to it.
It just felt
sounds
cold.
So, I mean, yeah, there's a certain lack of life to the sound, but it just has like that digital noise to it. I don't
really?
Know.
Really?
Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. And yet, I the first time I heard it, I went, whoa, I love the lyrics to the song. I was going to seek out the video, and then I realized, what are you going to have, like a robot walking around?
But by the way, I'm segueing just a smidge now. For people listening to our podcast, you're going to wonder what the heck we were talking about, because there are any of a number of reasons why music is not included in our podcasts. And if you want to find out about that, go to our blog, and we did a whole post about why music is not included in our podcast. It has nothing to do with WGN, has a lot to do with the people who stream podcasts and music licensing. So anytime you want to hear the songs that we play, listen to the show. And if we have a live performer on, we will do videos of the live performance, and they will be posted on our YouTube channel and also on our blog. We subscribe to newspapers. Not everybody does. And because not everybody does, we wanted to read something that you may not have been aware of. This was a commentary that appeared on Wednesday's Chicago Tribune editorial pages. It was an opinion in their Letters to the Editor segment. It was a letter from Chicago broadcast veterans. And in case you didn't get to see it, this is what it said. You know us. For years, you watched and listened to our coverage of the Chicago area. As journalists, we did our best to bring you accurate, objective information about the people, events, and issues that mattered. We hope we gained your trust.
So please trust us now when we say that what is happening in the Chicago area is wrong. The fact that some federal immigration forces may be leaving soon is cold comfort given the damage they've done and what they may do in other cities.
We are retired, but our colleagues who are still on the job have shown you a brutal and illegal campaign against fellow Chicagoans, mainly Latinos, violent abductions, gutting families using tear gas around children, roughing up witnesses, ramming cars, and even taking a daycare teacher from her school.
Let us be clear. We support the lawful apprehension and deportation of undocumented immigrants with criminal records. The president says he's after the worst of the worst, but that's not what's happening. It's gone way beyond that. People are presumed guilty until proven innocent. It's not law enforcement, it's terror.
This dragnet seems to be based on racism and is snaring citizens of color, documented immigrants, and people who have committed no serious crimes. Your neighbor, friend, co-worker, babysitter, and landscaper. People whose work ethic and honesty have contributed to the city for years.
A federal agent with Immigration and Customs Enforcement points a weapon to keep the crowd back while agents briefly detained and then released a woman pulled from her car along West 26th Street on November 8th of 25 in Cicero. If you believe in due process and the rule of law, you are likely to be alarmed. If you're a person of faith or believe in the unity of family, you are likely to be appalled.
None of us can do everything, but we all can do something. We urge you to support groups fighting for due process or who help immigrants during this siege. News organizations also need our financial support to continue their vital reporting.
We cover this city for a living and love it, and we want you to know that what's happening here is not normal. It's eroding all of our rights and should be a warning to other cities that find themselves enveloped in an ice storm.
That's a commentary that appeared in Wednesday's Chicago Tribune. And if you're wondering, the people who signed it were Derek Blakely,
Kathy Brock,
Chris Burry,
Bill Cameron,
Pat Cassidy,
Lilia Chacon,
Muriel Clare,
John Cody,
Janet Davies,
Craig Delamore,
John Dempsey,
Mark Giangreco,
Teresa Gutierrez,
Walter Jacobson,
Robert Jordan,
Sherman Kaplan,
Ann Kavanaugh,
Rich King,
Bill Curtis,
Alan Krzyzewski,
Ron Majors,
Carol Marine,
Linda McLennan,
Paul Meinke,
Steve Miller,
Phil Ponce,
Phil Rogers,
Jim Rose,
Rich Samuels,
Steve Sanders,
Andy Shaw,
Tom Skilling,
Rob Stafford,
David Stewart,
Jim Williams,
Larry Yellen,
Linda Yu,
and Pam Zekman.
And if we had been asked, we would have signed it too.
That's an impressive rundown of people.
And I think they stated their case very well.
Yeah.
And again, if you didn't read it in the Tribune, we wanted you to be aware that there are a sizable number of people in the media who are concerned about what is happening in this city.
Did you happen to see on Thursday or Friday any reaction in the letters to the editor? Because I don't recall seeing any. I'll have to go back and look. Because, yeah, of course, I was looking online, so that might be different than what you would see in the actual newspaper.
I honestly didn't look, so I will, like you, I will try to check it out. Again, just something we thought you might want to be aware of. You may agree with it, you may disagree with it, but we happen to agree with it and thought you should hear it. Well, it is time for our weekly shouts. Shout-outs to people who are listening in various parts of the planet, and I want to start off with some of the people who are nice enough to check out our blog. And if you would like to check out our blog, we'd appreciate it. Just go to steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. That's steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. We'd love it if you would subscribe. There is no cost. It's absolutely free, and we do not spam you. You just get an email anytime we have a new blog post. And some of the people who've been checking us out, I'm constantly amazed at some of the countries we hear from that are checking us out on the blog. United States, of course. Sweden. China this week. Poland.
China?
Yeah, China. Poland, the United Kingdom, Brazil, Ireland, Australia, the Netherlands, and Japan. And that's some of the countries that checked us out this week on our blog.
New ones every week.
Yeah.
Sweden is brand new, yeah. And the Netherlands are brand. I wonder, it's last week's guest, Nikki O'Neill, raised in Sweden.
You got a point.
We were talking about being Swedish, and
you got a point.
Word got out, and they decided to check us out. All right. I want to give a shout out to Sauk Village's Peter Lawrence, who is spending some time in Glenwood. And Peter, we're thinking of you. Hang in there, buddy, and thank you for tuning in. Brian Lefevre is in Bridgeport. Roger Camp is in Shade, Ohio. Evening Shade. The Burt Reynolds TV show.
Oh, yeah.
That had nothing to do with Shade, Ohio, did it? Evening Shade. I don't know.
I
digress.
I think it might have.
Sherry Hanrahan.
It was a good show, and it only lasted for, about 2.5 seasons?
Oh, it was a great show. Yeah. Sherry Hanrahan was happy that we were starting later because she was getting home late. So we worked around her schedule. She's in Romeoville. Sherry and Bob are in Arlington Heights. Stacey Drager is in Algonquin. Patrice Tintari is one of our fine listeners, and she's in Northwest Indiana. Jim G's in Wisconsin. Mike Ski is in Elmwood Park. Bonnie and George are listening in Elgin. J.W. and Dolly Mink are in Chesapeake. VA, and Bing Besh is in Winfield. David is in Prospect Heights. Wally Powers is listening in Pinecrest, North Carolina. Hi, Wally. And George Clemens is in Augusta, Georgia. Nora Brozanski and Janet Appenzeller and Suzanne Roche in Wheeling are tuned in. Nancy Hollins is listening as well. I digress for a moment. Julian is right here beside me. As a photographer, did you get any Northern Lights pictures?
I missed out on this past
Did
week.
Did you?
I missed out. Nobody told me.
Oh, my gosh. I was going to text you, and I thought, no, he's outside taking pictures.
And we kept hearing that you could see the Northern Lights not so much with your naked eye, but if you took a picture, you would get more from your camera than you would from your naked eye.
With not your camera as much as your phone. Your camera
phone. Yeah, your phone,
Yes. And along the lakefront. People were going to Evanston and sitting along the lakefront to see Northern Lights.
Oops, wait a minute. That'd be nice if I turned up the volume. You're on which mic are you
Five.
On?
Five.
Okay. Because we're having a different configuration for the
empty pockets.
Empty pockets coming in.
All right, so you did what now?
Last year, I did get some shots of the last year's, what are we talking about? Aurora?
Northern Lights.
Coming in. And
you only have four more hours to do, so.
Oh, my gosh, don't remind me. But last year, you could see it really well with the camera, but with your eyes,
exactly.
Could not. And I've been hearing for the one that that came this week, people could see it clearly with their own eyes.
Wow.
Really?
And the second night.
So what? If you know the technology, and I know we're digressing from
and
shots.
And I'll tell you why I digressed in a moment.
If you know the technology, why does your camera make it easier for you to see it than your eyes?
Steve, it's the same reason why we're driving up the or down Lakeshore Drive and we're approaching
and we see the beam on the beam on the Drake Hotel.
Coming over the Drake Hotel. We can see it with the camera. You cannot see it with your eye. And you hold the camera up and you go, whoa, that's like a blue laser shooting out of the building.
Well, my understanding, I don't know the science behind it, but my understanding is that because our eyes take time to adjust, you need to kind of acclimate to more darker scenes, let your iris open up a little bit more.
Okay.
Whereas the camera, boom, it gets the settings you need instantly.
See, this all makes me think of one of my favorite movies, They Live. Have you ever seen They Live?
They Live, a classic.
Yes. You put on the glasses.
You put on the glasses and then you see.
See, yeah.
Buy, consume. Roddy Piper.
And
great movie.
What's the gum line?
I'm here to chew gum and
kick butt
and I'm all out of gum.
Yeah.
One of the best movie scenes ever.
He was really good in that movie, too.
He was terrific.
And that's a spooky one. I mean, it's not gory or anything. It's just really disturbing. But we digress because Eric Baum is our listener from Maine. And on his post tonight, he says, I'm listening as I always do. And here's a picture of the Northern Lights, and there's no picture. So, Eric, I said, give us a picture. I want to see it. I love the fact that the second night in the Chicago area, people packed up charcuterie boards and went down to the lakefront. And because the weather was mild enough, they just spread out their blanket and they waited for the Northern Lights. Not as dramatic the second night, but boy, the pictures the first night were just jaw-dropping. Okay, back to our shout-outs. Diane Vasquez, who is our graphics guru. Mm-hmm. She did an adorable graphic for Happy Harvest. Thank you, Diane. I love it. Beverly Ann Goodall is listening in Highwood, Illinois. Bobby Danos, our buddy out in Sandwich, is listening on his AM-FM clock radio.
I'm digressing for a second.
You may.
You mentioned the great graphics.
Mm-hmm.
What the heck is going on with Facebook this week?
Why?
So I go to click on Diane's graphics.
Her autumn graphics.
And Facebook takes forever, and it's still not showing up.
Hmm.
And Facebook has been doing that with a lot. Facebook is doing a ton of stuff lately.
Fixing things that don't need to be fixed.
Yep.
Have you noticed that you have on the right-hand side, you have a thumbs down now? You not only have a thumbs up, you have a thumbs down.
No, I haven't seen that.
Not on every post, but on many posts.
Where is the... Okay. So I'm going to click on the like thing.
But let me tell you the weird thing that happens to me.
Love, care...
No. It's different. It's the post, the little tiny thumbs up that is underneath comments. now there's a thumbs down on some post. So I check Facebook on my phone. I scroll with my right thumb, right?
Yeah.
How many times have I accidentally clicked a thumbs down? And I go back. I go, no. Yeah. Take that. I didn't mean to go thumbs down. Because you know that somebody's going to come back. Why are you thumbs downing my comment? And I'm like, no. But you have to be real careful because it's not on every one of them. But Scott Cooper is listening in Naperville.
Hi, Scott.
Brian Lefevre is in Bridgeport in the beautiful city of Chicago. Thank you, Brian. Peter Jukubowicz is in Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin. And Eric Baum, it's Wells Beach, Maine. That's where he listens to us. He says, tonight's picture is from the 11th of the Northern Lights scene from Wells Beach, Maine. He's such a tease because there ain't no picture there. But I'm sure he's listening and he will amend that. Chuck Snitchler, best friend of this here radio show and station, is listening in Hobart, Indiana on his Amazon Echo. Tracy Douglas is in Savannah.
Chucko is about to move, too.
He is. Yeah, I think he's moving to Valpo.
Yeah.
Tracy Douglas is in Savannah, Georgia. Rich Lukowski. Well, interesting. We just spoke of you, Rich.
Hey, Rich.
Yeah, he says hi to Josh and Eric.
By the way, for those of you who were listening last week, the podcast is posted, but the videos will be coming up in a couple weeks. We'll let you know when they're available, and they will be on our YouTube page and also on our blog.
Jean Jacobson is in Milwaukee listening on her Sea Crane Radio. Lynn Kinzer is in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Carrie Johnson is in Palm Coast, Florida. Judy B. is in Oaklawn. Joan Bloom in Greenville, South Carolina. So we got North and South Carolina tuned in tonight. J.P., John Paul, and Peoria tuned in to the 50,000-watt blowtorch.
That's right.
Who does that make you think of?
Spike, of course.
Of course, yes.
Actually, Spike used to say 50,000-watt love
pump. Love pump. Nancy Hollins is in Northbrook. Lloyd Moncrief in Ottawa. Sandy McCumas in Michigan City, Indiana. Terry Brock is in Bridgeview. Nancy Witt is in Milwaukee. Joan Smith in Holland, Michigan. Mary Gold and her hubby are listening in Tinley Park on their clock radio. Debbie Hardiman's in Waukesha. Jim Smith is dialed in on his Panasonic transistor radio from 1978.
Cool.
While listening from the comfort of the home on the northwest side of Chicago. That would be the northwest side of Chicago.
That's when Panasonic really owned Panasonic.
That's true. And that's a good little radio, too, as I recall. Susan Powell's in Memphis.
Memphis. Thank you very much.
Jan Reinhart is in the laboratory. Nancy Nosick is in South Holland. Laura Helm is in Urbana. Helen Thomas in K-Town, Kenosha. Jackie Spores in Milton, Wisconsin. Luis Olivo is in Cicero. Kristen Kirk in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Sharon Malone in Kenosha. Margo Moore in Albuquerque. Paul Osha in Plant City, Florida. Go Blackhawks. And they won tonight, so yay Blackhawks. Roy Phillips is listening. He's on board, listening to the game and sticking around. Matt Palmer's in Racine, Wisconsin. Priscilla Gilbert Steak is in Joliet. And that just about does it. If I missed you, let me scroll up real quick here to see who signed in just now. Doug Youngren is in Naperville, checking in from Sarasota tonight. Shout out to Steve and Johnny from Laura and Cotton, her fur baby, in Willowbrook. And Jim Richmond. Jim in Mount Prospect. And Evening Shade took place in Arkansas. That's right. That's what George tells us. Arkansas. I should have remembered that because I love the show.
You never see that in reruns.
No, you don't.
I think it only ran for, what, 2-3 seasons? That was about it?
Yeah. Somebody will know for sure. I'm looking at, remember Mike checked in and said, when you say my last name, you sneeze?
Yeah.
So it's Kachunian. Kachunian.
Yes.
From Gahanna.
Kachunian.
Yes, he's an Evanston native listening from Gahanna again. Make sure to sneeze when you say my name. And Scott in Pierre, South Dakota, also checking in tonight. Again, if I missed you, I apologize. I'll catch you next week because we'll be here.
We've got Erica and Josh from The Empty Pockets. Hey,
hi,
kids.
Hi.
So good to see you guys.
As I like to say, it's the front pockets.
Right? The back pockets are with us in spirit.
They are with
us in spirit.
Hi, back
pockets.
In fact, they both
actually, they didn't do much, but their wives both had babies like in the last few months. So they're at home, but we're all back in Chicago. So happy to be here with you, looking at this beautiful view of Chicago.
World travelers, though, you've seen some amazing stuff in the past few months.
Oh, my God. And hearing that song, I recorded the organ part at Abbey Road Studio 3.
The first time, sure.
And we just got back from Abbey Road Studios recording in Studio 2. The Big Beatles studio.
Wow. In fact, we were talking off the air. Since we last saw you, you've been through what would be life-changing events for any of a number of people. You wrapped up the Al Stewart tour. You recorded again at Abbey Road. You visited Ireland for the first. So tell us about all this stuff.
Give us an idea of what it was like for the final shows with Al Stewart.
It was very nerve-wracking. I didn't think it would be our boy Al Stewart. I call him Uncle Al.
He just turned 80.
He turned 80. And
he's a kid.
He's a kid. And he agreed reluctantly to call it his farewell tour, which elevated all of it. So we were like sold out at the London Palladium.
Oh, beautiful venues.
Not only that, it was like literally years to the date where the Beatles played and the phrase Beatlemania was coined.
Whoa. Yeah, in 63 it was coined after a show at the London Palladium.
But what was that, the one where he told the people in the high seats to rattle their jewelry?
You know, we thought it was, and many people mentioned that as well, but that actually was at a different venue in London.
That was at like the Queen's Victoria Theatre.
Yeah, so the okay. The claim,
but it's often confused.
It is. Many people mentioned that. It was just an amazing tour. We love, you know, the City Winery here in Chicago, which is around 300 seats.
Mm-hmm.
Every venue we played in England was like 2,000 seats.
Yeah.
It was wild. So yeah. To be a part of, to open the shows and to back up our buddy Al Stewart, 80 years old, finishing his career, was pretty special.
Yeah. Now, how long was your stint with Al Stewart?
10 years.
Oh my gosh, you were babies when you started with him.
Know. And you guys have known us the whole time, so you've seen like us from when it began through now.
Yes.
Have we known you for more than 10 years?
Isn't that weird?
Yes.
And you know what's cool about this last tour with Al Stewart, that was his farewell tour, and I don't think we'll do that many more shows, is watching him 80, first of all, he did his first professional gig in 1959. So that dude did 8 different decades of professional music.
Incredible.
Which blows my mind. But being sold out at the London Palladium, being sold out at the National Concert Hall in Dublin or at the Royal Concert Hall in Glasgow was so exciting for him.
Aww.
Which sort of raised the stakes in a really fun way.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, now, let me peek behind the curtain. Farewell tour. But is he going to perform at all anymore? I hope he does.
He hasn't hit like his major markets that he's really, really nailed in the last...
You know, Seattle. He didn't perform a farewell show
here.
You know, it's almost a controversial...
So it was his European farewell tour.
And he's made that very clear because he doesn't want to say goodbye.
In general, the farewell tour... You know, Elton John did a farewell tour for 3 or 4 years. I think the Doobie Brothers announced a farewell tour in like the 80s.
Yes.
You know? So
they unfarewelled real hard.
I'm a big advocate, personally, to let you in behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. I had been advocating for a few years, let's say it's the farewell tour, because I wanted to do these big shows. And it turned out to be true. But I think he'll do a few more shows. I hope he does Chicago.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, if he does, we got to be there.
Yeah,
definitely.
But speaking of farewell tours, was it Colbert, Pete Townsend?
Yes.
And when Pete Townsend was talking about this last Who tour, and Colbert asked him, okay, is this a farewell tour? And he said, we did about 6 performances, but we have to do as many as Elton John did. So that means we have about 300 more farewell performances to do.
No one wants to say goodbye. Like, Paul McCartney would not be still touring in his 80s. It's not a financial thing. It's an emotional thing.
Exactly.
Well, was this the first time you guys went to the Netherlands and to Sweden?
Yes.
Netherlands was the first time. Amsterdam was incredible. We performed at this place called the Carré Theater, which is right on the canals. And it was...
stunning.
I want to live there.
Amsterdam was amazing with these sort of...
I want to get a bicycle.
Yes!
The bicycle highways.
Yes. Yep.
Can I tell you guys a secret, though? Josh took me on a bicycle ride, and about halfway through the bicycle ride, I panicked and I bailed.
Really?
I couldn't
Why?
Make it.
There's so much stuff going on around you?
No, it was like we got, my legs couldn't do it anymore. We got like, oh. And I'm watching these like grannies drive yes. drive by me. And
with
like,
their groceries?
Yeah, they've been doing this their whole lives. And I said, Josh, we got to bail. We got to come back and get these bikes.
I can't walk.
I can't
if
do
I keep
it.
Going.
My poor thighs, bud.
So then Josh had to carry you back?
We left the bikes. We found a coffee shop and we took public transportation. Thank you, Josh.
We went back and got the bikes. It was fine.
Thank you.
But it was
I feel
beautiful.
Your pain. That's a peek behind the curtain, friends. That was very embarrassing.
And you know what's interesting about too, but I don't know why I just thought.
And Al Stewart was like biking, going, hey,
yeah, right. Yeah,
you
right.
Imagine Al Stewart biking.
Oh my God, in Zero Worlds.
Thinking about performing in the Netherlands now in the UK, in Ireland, all of the culture is a little different. So the audiences are very different.
They're buttoned up. Like in America, what? It's like, how you doing? Everyone's like, what?
Right. If you ask a question to an American audience, yeah. they will answer you with like Oops. Applause yeah. or
Cheers.
Like nonsense.
Yes, yes.
If you ask a question to a UK audience, they will answer you literally. You know,
I'm fine.
Yes.
Correct.
How are you all? I'm okay.
How are you? In unison, we are well.
Yeah, it's an interesting
it's bizarre.
Well, that kind of reminds me of a conversation we had with Dwayne Eddy years ago, and he was talking about
Dwayne Eddy is Al Stewart's icon.
Okay.
Oh.
And he was talking about his first tour over there, and I mean he was huge.
He was
over
massive.
In the UK.
He was like Jimi Hendrix before Jimi Hendrix.
Exactly. But he said when they did their first tour there, they were confused because they came out and after each number, there would be polite applause.
Yeah.
Yeah, very polite.
And then next number, polite applause. But then when they finished, the place
Massive.
Went nuts. So the audience was waiting till, okay, now you're really done. Okay, yeah,
it
we loved
it. It is still like that there. And there's no applause commentary during a song.
No.
Oh, so that would be rude. A nice solo.
Yes.
You don't get the woo.
No, none. So it's a little...
It's more
it's a
serious.
Little strange. And then you feel like an egotistical maniac a little bit, thinking, why aren't they reacting?
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, do I need applause every 4 minutes?
But does that mean it takes you longer to get a sense of the audience?
Yes.
And this is our third tour in the UK, so I feel like we got the understanding faster.
Yeah, I agree.
On stage in the US, I think we have like kind of a self-deprecating, sarcastic humor. So, like, when we open for an artist, sometimes we'll say, all right, this is the last song. You've done it. You've finished the opening act. I know it can be a bummer, but please buy our CDs or something like that, you know? Usually in the U.S., you get a laugh. We did that for, like, the first two shows, and people came up to us at the merch table, and they were like, you guys were very good.
Don't
why
say
did,
that.
Why did you say? We're like, oh, no.
Oops.
Okay. Our sarcasm
we were trying
was,
to be cute.
Was too dry for Bournemouth.
Okay.
See.
Didn't you have a nightmarish experience, Josh, when a guitar
yes.
I did.
Stopped?
Oh, all right. I'm on stage. I'm on stage with Al Stewart and Josh Solomon and the rest of the Empty Pockets.
Beautiful venue. It's sold out.
It's amazing. All of a sudden I look over at Josh. We're in the second to last song. It's the big, massive electric guitar solo that's like the penultimate huge moment of the night.
It's a song called One Stage Before. It's also the second to last song on Al Stewart's biggest album called You're the Cat.
All of a sudden, Josh is on the floor, bending over, grabbing, pulling out cables, plugging them back in, putting them on his mouth to
when
try to see if they're
when you're
getting...
traveling and you can't bring all your stuff, you do what's called, you backline. Mm-hmm. So you have like rental gear.
Oh.
And it just... is what it is. And in the middle of this song, I'm doing this, and I just, it doesn't go out right away. It's like a slow, and it's a slow fade, and there's this big guitar solo coming up at the end of the song, and I'm like, oh gosh. And you know, Erica's kind of covering the part on her keyboard a little bit. Nate and Adam keep playing, and I realize, like, this guitar amp doesn't work at all.
He's literally, like, running back and forth between the amp and his pedals and a different guitar and plugging things in and pulling them out.
And we get to the solo, and it doesn't happen, and the band kind of is looking around, and they're just kind of stalling. And I pick up my acoustic guitar, and it sounds so messed up to me. You know how, Steve, you play guitar, the difference in sustain is so huge.
Yep.
But I end up playing it on acoustic guitar, so it sounds more like...
So was your acoustic guitar plugged in, or did you walk up to a mic with your acoustic guitar?
It was plugged in, And it just felt so wrong and awkward, and it was late. But even the British audiences that are a little bit more reserved, they just...
They got it.
Oh, they went crazy. It was almost like embarrassing. Oh. They went
It was so cool. I mean, I'm there, and I'm like, is he going to get it? Is he going to get it? What's going to happen? Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
It's all anybody could talk about. They were there for you. It was a very nerve-wracking experience because also you're playing somebody else's music on their farewell tour, and all these fans are pretty emotional about it. You know, these have been Al Stewart fans since the 70s.
And these are iconic solos.
Yeah, and then I was thinking, like, how am I going to play the last song? Like, what's going to happen?
All this going through your head while you're trying to have that good face on.
Right. While you're trying to, like, really sell the last moment.
What did Al say about it?
Al loves that stuff. Like, anything that's going to change it up, anything that goes wrong. He's been doing this, like I said, eight different decades. 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2010, 2020s.
He loves the improv
He understands that the audience loves that and that it's all about the audience.
Now, he doesn't want to screw up a lyric. That is very serious to him. Right. That's what he takes the most umbrage to.
Like he's a songwriter.
But for Al, like a full sound and light system going down, like that's fun.
And that did happen to us during one of our sets.
No.
It happens.
Yeah, it happened the first time we were in the UK, a sound system went down.
Oh, yeah, the lighting system went down.
And then this time the lighting system went down. But we played very well in the darkness.
Oh.
But it was nice. It was nice. It was intimate.
Very intimate.
But I love the fact that someone took a picture of you on stage, Josh, when you were looking at your guitar like, what? It's not working.
Why? It is like a hiker lost in the woods sort of feeling, sort of moment, because you're like, my thing that I do, but...
It's ain't doing it.
It not working. You know, and you don't, for a minute, you don't remember, like, I should probably do something else if this isn't going to work.
Oh, that's fine.
And then you do think of it, and...
Well, now, did that make you think that sometimes you should do it acoustically just to...
Definitely not, because doing it, I was like...
Miserable.
No, because, the sustain, like I said, it's not there, but also the moves are so different.
Well, we lock the doors, so we're going to get some live music from these two.
Wonderful.
We do want to mention, though, that they are busy. They've landed. They caught their breath. They read their mail.
In fact, there is a big show coming up at the City Winery. The blatant plug light is on.
Let's back up. Next Saturday, they're going to be in Skokie at the North Shore.
We're each playing a song. It's actually one of my favorite albums ever. One of my favorite concert movies is The Last Waltz. Mm-hmm. We're going to be in Skokie helping tribute to The Last Waltz.
Mm-hmm. I'm Joni Mitchell.
That's pretty cool.
Right?
Yeah. And I see that Corky Siegel's there, too.
Siegel's there. Joe Pugs. There's a lot of great artists performing.
And you can go to the North Shore. You can go to the Empty Pockets and check out their entire rundown of their holiday tour. And, Steve, you're right. After that, it's the City Winery in St. Louis on the 30th of November. Then Ann Arbor, Michigan, Annapolis, Maryland. That's kind of a jump. Ann Arbor to Annapolis.
Yeah. But the Chicago City Winery is coming up, too.
Yeah, December 19th. It's our last show of the year. We're hitting three city wineries. St. Louis, you mentioned.
Pittsburgh.
We're doing Pittsburgh. And then our last show of the year, Chicago City Winery. That's December 19th.
Yeah, we love it there.
Yeah.
It's a Friday. We don't usually play on a weekend in Chicago there, but we get to this year. I'm very excited about that.
So
we're going to do the best thing possible. Shut up and con these guys into doing what would you like to do?
You know, we've been talking Al Stewart. We're going to do a song that we probably never write without Al Stewart. He uniquely writes a lot of historical songs. So this is a historical song. Erica sent me an article about a lady at the turn of the 19th century, really good cook. She made peach melba in New York, famously.
But you don't put peach melba in the oven, and that, my friends, is critical because she had typhoid.
She gave typhoid to like 200 people, 300 people. They all died. We know her as Typhoid Mary, and that's what the song's called.
She grew up across the river, a whole world of money away. Got a job in the city, cooking dinner for the rich folks. Now she's got a reason to stay. I found out soon that she had bad luck.
always had to stay on the run. Tracked her down to a kitchen on the south side. Now she isn't having any fun. Mary, can we ask you some questions? Mary, where have you been? Mary, do you know what's happening? Mary, where have you been? Oh. Nobody told her what was happening. They handled her with gloves and a smile. But she got mad and ran away for the fourth time. They could not find her for a while. No, no, no. They said, Mary, we got a plan for you to settle this for all of our days. Oh, you don't need to choose. Just, honey, put on your shoes. I'll explain it in the boat on the way. Mary, you made the front page news now. Mary, where have you been? Mary, did you hear that it's a spreading now? Mary, where have you been? Oh, Mary, can we do some tests on you? Mary, we're so glad you're here. Mary, we've got a lovely private island for you. Mary, we're so glad you're here. Oh, my girl Mary. Come on, Mary.
That's wonderful.
You've never performed that for us before.
No,
that's
never
a great
that for you
track.
That's crazy.
Oh, I love that.
The lyrics are
fascinating character. Real life person, Mary Mallon, who they in real life did move onto her own private island.
And she like got away multiple times before they snatched her up and got her on that island.
I don't think she believed them.
Back up. What does the Peach Melba have to do with it?
Well, because
she's a cook.
You transfer. She had typhoid. She's the world's. In some ways, she's the world's first asymptomatic carrier, or at least the first one we actually have like documentation of, which, you know, was a big deal during COVID, asymptomatic carrying. And the way you pass typhoid was through food. So she would make Peach Melba famously as a dessert on Sunday nights, and then her rich family that she cooked it for would eat it, and then they would all get typhoid and die.
Well, Peach Melba will never be the same.
I know, right?
I had no idea.
You know what? I love Peach Melba, actually.
Yes. Deadly
it's a wonderful
delicious.
Dish.
So you saw an article about her.
Yes. I've been sending Josh articles about strange women,
it
turns out.
Into songs.
Because we also wrote recently a song called The Queen of LA, which is about a lady from Milwaukee named Dolly, who fell in love with many young suitors, including one man who came to fix her washing machine. And she decided to keep him in her attic as her plaything. She did this. Her husband got a new job across the country. She moved the young man from the attic to the new attic. No one knew. And then the husband found out.
The new theme for us is the strange historical.
Now, you know, you have to do that song now.
Okay,
we should.
It's called The Queen of LA.
I like that one.
And you got to work on the CD. You got to do a whole album
of like murder ballads.
Or Deadly Women.
Deadly Women. Yes. That's actually a great idea.
Yeah.
That's my coven.
You know, it could be huge too if you think about it.
That's a really good idea.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, are we going to hear a little bit of Dolly?
Yeah, that sounds great.
All right. You're listening to Josh and Erica of The Empty Pockets here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. I'm digressing for a second because we're hearing from some people that are listening to us via the internet, and apparently there is some problem going on tonight with the internet stream.
Yes.
It's kind of an in-and-out thing. We have told the appropriate people, and they're going to do the appropriate things. But grab your Sea Crane radio. You can listen to
us
that way.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But thanks for letting us know. And Again, somebody said, tell Steve and Johnny I'm sorry, but I'm having a hard time. And I said, this is me. And I'm sorry. And we...
Yeah. Some people are saying they're... Yeah. Other...
Were... Or, yeah.
We're saying...
Mm-hmm.
Now they're all going to think it's Steve. Now everybody thinks it.
Josh and Erica with us in the studio from The Empty Pockets.
And the blatant plug line has just gone off. So if people want to get your albums or anything else, so where should they go? What should they do to send you money?
TheEmptyPockets.com.
Yeah, make sure you put that the in there.
TheEmptyPockets.com. You can see our tour schedule. You can get our brand new merchandise.
You have T-shirts with a pocket.
We got T-shirts with a pocket on it.
I'm really excited about that pocket.
And then one of your fans says, is there something in the pocket? I'm reading that going, no, it's an empty pocket.
Why don't you understand it?
I wrote, I'm offended. Yes. What do you mean? What's the problem with an empty pocket?
You got knit hats.
Yeah, we got lots of fun stuff. Yep.
And I love my bag. You gave me the live music bag
up there. So.
I did a quick check of Murderous Women.
Murderous Women.
There's a whole bunch that you could be writing about. Yeah. There's a whole CD
in
there.
There's a lot out there. Yeah. Now, this one we're going to do, we recorded at Abbey Road just recently, and it's perfect. It's Halloween just passed.
Mm-hmm.
This is a scary one. Another true story.
Ooh. I played this on the Challen piano.
It's a Midwestern LA combination. We call it the Queen of LA, and it starts in Milwaukee in real life. This is another turn of the century song. It's the late 1800s, real life story. Listen to the lyrics if you want to really get the...
Dolly's going to find a lover, and it's going to go awry.
Queen of LA. Fred and Dolly got married one summer, served brunch in the afternoon. But Dolly had a secret, yet a little predilection for young men under the moon. A poor Freddy never noticed what was under his nose. That's why Dolly kept on, I suppose. Lovers at the racetrack, lovers in a haystack, lovers from her head to her toes. From her head to her toes. Dolly first saw Otto when he came to the house to look at the washing machine. She took that boy straight up to her bed, though he was just 17. They were madly in love on the very first day. If it all wasn't true, it would be a cliche. Lover in the attic, lover problematic. Now they got to move to LA. Freddie got a job. Fred was in the dark until he got home from the park and heard a noise coming down from the stairs. Lots of shouting and some screaming. After all of Dolly's scheming, she confessed to many affairs. But poor Freddy never noticed what was under his nose. That's why Otto pulled the trigger, I suppose. One moment Fred's alive, then Otto shot a 25. And now he's dead, Fred. From his head to his toes. Oh, they were madly in love from that very first day. If it all wasn't true, it would be a cliche. Lovers at the racetrack, lovers in a haystack. Dolly was the queen of LA. She was the queen of LA. She was the queen of LA. That's a debut for you right there. I don't think we've played that.
Wonderful.
That's extraordinary.
Freaky.
A little scary, a little scary. Now,
yeah.
It's dark.
How long did it take you to come up with the song? Because you're dealing with a true story, and yet you're you know, Fred dead. I mean, you're coming up with the right rhymes and the chord progression that makes it just even
real
more
spooky.
Eerie.
Yeah. You know, songwriting's weird like that. I'm sure you've done some of that too, Steve, where it's like, you know, we had the concept. Great Wikipedia page. The Dolly is a great Wikipedia page. So I had been thinking about it. When I actually went to write it, it didn't take that long, but I think it was sort of it gets kind of subconsciously finished at some point. And then you do have to get those details.
Fine-tune it.
You know, like his real name was Fred, and that does rhyme with dead, which is convenient.
So a listener suggests that you please include Lizzie Borden in that CD.
One.
Write a Lizzie Borden song.
Okay. Yeah. I'm on it.
I think I feel an entire thematic murderous women historical.
Yeah, these are my witches. I'm here for this.
Yeah.
I like this.
I hear you. Yes. Okay.
And the cover has to have you and you, Eric. And weird lighting with the light right
Agreed.
Under your looking up and wearing some weird witchy outfit.
I need a scythe.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Something scary.
A scythe!
I like how you guys are like, all right.
Okay. Johnny is laughing about the scythe. Why is Johnny laughing about the scythe? Johnny,
you want to explain? She understands it deeply.
No, because I am harassed by a sighting that I had. Many, many years ago.
Okay, now maybe this is another song.
You had a scythe sighting?
I had a scythe sighting.
Oh. A scything.
Very good.
Driving on a very desolate stretch of interstate I-80 way out toward,
Iowa. My goodness.
Right? And there, in the middle of the highway, you're driving along like 60 miles an hour, there's a man, and he's wearing a white dress shirt and black pants, and he's got a scythe over his shoulder.
That's not good at
all. And my first thought was, he doesn't have a coat on. We need to go back and see if he's okay.
You never check on the guy with the scythe.
He might be chilly. He might be cold. There's no one around. I didn't see a car. He was wearing a white shirt. Please turn around. So immediately we go to the
You did turn around?
Mm-hmm.
What was your second thought?
Look at this. I got goosebumps. My first thought was, oh, no. Now, again, it was very obvious he had a scythe over his shoulder.
That's not good.
When we got back, there was nobody there.
Oh, no.
There was nobody there. They were like, oh.
Will it surprise you that this happened before I knew Johnny and she didn't tell me this story until after we got married?
And then I told
Suspect.
Him. I told him with a straight face, ha, ha, ha. And I go, it's not funny. The man could have died out there.
I'm still traumatized.
I'm still thinking about the fact he didn't have a coat on. It was January.
Homicide?
Homicide. Oh, gosh.
What do you use a scythe for? Like, not murdering, I mean, like, legitimately. Was it for, plowing and stuff?
I think, you're taking down.
I was just out for a plow, for real?
Midnight plow.
Wearing black dress pants and a...
That is interesting.
I said he looked like he would be like an Amish guy.
Yeah.
He won't hurt us. Let's go back and get the man
sort of glad
the
he wasn't there.
He was an Amish guy ready
That's
to hurt
a scary
you.
Story.
I'm nervous.
Oh, my. I know. Coming up, because we're not letting you out of here.
Wonderful.
We're going to ask you to do one of your holiday tunes
because
you're going to be kicking off your holiday tour. And I want you to reach over there, if you would, Josh, and there's a cute little package. That is for you to take home.
That is for you guys.
I love gifts.
That is your little tchotchke.
Look at this. It's a rock multi-tool shaped like a guitar.
It's like a Swiss Army knife that's a guitar.
Exactly.
It's got a ruler.
I got to say, on tour, this is going to come
in
handy.
This is really useful.
I know.
Guys, this is a really
thoughtful
gift.
It is even a bottle opener,
too. It says it's a 20-in-1. 20 functions.
And it's a little silver metal guitar.
This goes in your backpack. Yeah, this goes in your tour pack.
What kind of guitar is it?
It's a bass, I think.
Is it?
This is a bass.
And it's a U-Rock multi-tool.
This is cool.
It does
Thank
20
you.
Different functions.
You got all the wrench sizes in here?
It really is a guitar Swiss Army knife.
This is
it's
beautiful.
Really cool.
Isn't that wild?
You guys are the best.
I love this. You never know when you need a little saw.
There's a letter opener?
It's got a little saw on it?
A little saw on it and a ruler.
What?
A nail pry? You can pry some nails.
Well, it's already a wonderful holiday season. This is my first holiday gift.
A bottle opener. We always need that.
Before we let too much time pass, you introduced us to Will's Place at 7927 Lincoln
Ooh,
Avenue.
Nailed it. Yeah, right across from the Skokie Theater. Our beloved Will's Place. That's my brother.
Is Will.
Will. And Will's Place, just a quick recap, is mission. It's a nonprofit cafe in Skokie, and its mission is to offer meaningful employment to adults with disabilities. I was at Will's Place today.
And the food and the drinks are
and the service.
Delicious. Coffee is outstanding.
Yeah, it's outstanding. And so they're doing pies. Really, the entire pastry program is grown so much and been so wonderful. The pies are great. And you can get, like you guys said, you get a pie made for yourself for Thanksgiving. But a cool offer is you can buy a pie for the food pantry. And Will's Place will match that pie. So if you buy a pie for the food pantry is going to get two pies. And in fact, my mother, who started Will's Place, went over to the food pantry and said, like, how many pies is too many pies for us to send you? And they looked at her and they were like, this year, there's no too many pies. Mm-hmm. You know,
send us all the pies.
You can't send us too many.
Really?
Which is not what they always say. It's just a different year in terms of, you know, need. The government was shut down forever and we're, you know, fighting, supporting people that need it for some reason. So anyway, if you want to buy a pie for yourself, buy another one and we'll send two.
That's
cool.
Really cool. Should they call to place their order?
You can call
online?
Or you can go online. You can find it from our website, but you could also go to willsplaceskokie.com and place your pie order.
And for people who don't know what the price range is, what is roughly the price range per pie?
Lord. I think it's like a 30, isn't it like a 30-something dollar pie? Isn't that what we're talking about? They're very good, too. And I think there's two flavors to choose from this year.
So. And again, Will's Place is 7927 Lincoln Avenue because you'll need to come pick up your pie.
Yeah, and it's open Tuesday through Saturday for breakfast and lunch. Go ahead, Ari.
They're only $23, and they have two different flavors.
We're underpricing those pies, for sure.
Apple crumble and sweet potato. And the third flavor is donate a pie to the Niles Township Food Pantry.
The sweet potato is outrageously good. It's
I'm
so
stunned,
subtle.
Though. $23.
Yes, $23.
Very reasonable. So buy a pie.
So buy a pie and buy one for the food pantry, too.
Yeah, why,
and
might as well.
Yeah. Send two there. That would be amazing. Mm.
Good
Again,
flavors,
Will's Place, right across from the Skokie Theater and right next door to my favorite comic store.
I love that
comic
store.
Yeah. Aren't they great?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Before we run out of time, because we just have a tendency to yammer a lot.
Us?
We're going to be having a Christmas party on the 20th of December, and we thought it would be fun if we had a little taste of live music that folks might have missed, like when you guys stopped by tonight. So could you give us a little Christmas ditty kicking off your holiday tour?
Yes. Our holiday tour is called Snow Day, and we're excited to bring some spirit and cheer to, you know, the Midwest and the East Coast. And
let's get into Christmas. Let's get into Christmas for a minute here. We're going to do a song about the 26th of December. This is how we imagine, you know, we're the Empty Pockets. We consider ourselves a working class band.
We're here for labor rights.
We're a labor band. And so this is about the elves and everyone else who works so hard.
The reindeer, the snowmen.
And we imagine that they take a good needed break and vacation starting the day after Christmas, and that we thought that must be a giant party, so we call it the party at the North Pole. True story.
It's the day after Christmas, all the elves are sleeping late. The reindeer stretch their legs out by the magic workshop gate. Oh, it's a massive celebration up in the ice and snow. It's the day after Christmas Day. Party at the North Pole. It's December 26th. Mrs. Claus is drinking beer.
Blitzen's giving sleigh rides to the elves who scream and cheer, and all the snowmen put on a pantomime show. It's the day after Christmas Day. Party at the North Pole. Do-do, do-do-do. Santa snores through the afternoon, wakes up with a start, and then silence fills the room. The big guy laughs with a ho-ho-ho, says there's nothing to fear. It's the day after Christmas Day. Party now the next year. It's the day after Christmas, Rudolph's leading hokey pokey. The elves pass round a sign-up sheet for midnight karaoke. The public's not invited, so there's no way to go to the day after Christmas Day. Party at the North Pole. Do-do, do-do-do. It's the party at the North Pole. It's a party at the North Pole. Do-do-do, do-do-do. It's a party at the North Pole. Do-do-do, do-do-do. It's a party at the North Pole.
I love that song.
That's fun.
I love the lyrics of this. From the first time I heard that, I thought, that's the song that needs to have been written a long time ago.
I love the part about Santa waking up.
Yes,
and oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I like that. That works.
My niece loves when Mrs. Claus is drinking beer.
She just thinks yes. That's the silliest thing.
We've got Josh and Erica of the Empty Pockets with us in studio. And the tour is Snow Days.
Snow Day.
The Snow Day Tour starts in St. Louis on November 30th, and it ends here in Chicago December 19th. Get yourself to the City Winery. Great place to see a show.
And truly, yeah. There's nothing that helps an indie band more these days than buying a ticket to see a show or grabbing something from our merch.
That's true.
It is a funny perspective. You know, it's like it's all well and good. You know, buy your Taylor Swift tickets. Ariana Grande is going to be at the United Center next year. I get that. But every ticket we sell, I swear to you, every ticket we sell, I personally notice. Mm-hmm. You know, Ariana's not noticing you ticket at the United Center. I notice. I'm
that's
like, hey,
right.
Four people bought tickets to Pittsburgh.
And it means a lot, so.
Because, you know, I love Snow Days.
Oh, I love
I get very emotional over that song.
We want to talk about their Abbey Road experience, and we want to get at least another song. So where do we want to go first?
I want the song.
She
Please.
Wants a song.
Please. Give the lady what she wants.
That's right.
I love this song. It's called Snowshoes. This is just makes me think of the holidays in Chicago.
Baby, let's not wait till sunlight. The timing now feels just right. I'm coming over to you. Darling, go put on your snowshoes. On second thought, let's snowshoes, not where we're going to. We'll stop before the dawn and waste the day, heralded by wispy clouds of gray. If you get to choose where and when you can be, I hope you choose right here and now with me. Why resist temptation on a make-believe vacation? There's no in-between.
can hog the pillows. Pretend the plants are willows, the dishwashers are stream. We might sleep right through the afternoon, oh yeah. Wake before that rising city moon. If you get to choose where and where you can be, well, I hope you choose right here and now with me. Ooh. Oh, Tannenbaum, oh, Tannenbaum. Ooh. Oh, Tannenbaum, oh, Tannenbaum. Oh, baby, let's not wait till sunlight. The timing now feels just right. I'm coming over to you, oh, darling. Go put on your snowshoes. On second thought, let's no shoes, not where we're going to. Yeah, yeah, we'll start before the dawn. Then we'll waste the day, heralded by wispy clouds of gray. If you get to choose where and when you can be, well, I hope you choose right here and now with me. With me.
Oh, that's so good.
Well, thank you. That's my Christmas present.
We love seeing you.
I love that song so much from the very first time I heard it. And people, when they come out to see you, they're going to be hearing your original Christmas music.
Yes.
We sure will.
So it's going to be a great, great holiday experience. And you know what? This is a family show. So you can come out with your kids.
You sure can. In fact, this is, I think, like the first year that like all our nieces are coming to this show.
Fine.
So we got to keep it. We got to keep it family PG. Friendly. We always do.
You do. Sure. You can catch them next Saturday night at the North Shore Center for Performing Arts. It's a very special tribute to The Last Waltz. And there's a great lineup of people. Check out the North Shore site and get a rundown on that, or go to The Empty Pockets. And as we say, they're kicking off their holiday tour. It will culminate in Chicago at the City Winery on the 19th of December. So get your tickets. Josh will be looking for you.
Yes, I will.
He looks at every one of those
you
tickets.
You know I will.
That's real, you guys.
It is so good to be back in Chicago. I don't think we've like been up high in Chicago since we've been back, honestly.
What a city we have, friends.
Yes, you guys, being at WGN and looking at this beautiful city makes me so grateful to be back. You guys said we were in Europe, we were in the UK, and we recorded at Abbey Road, which was absolutely incredible. But honestly, U.S. plumbing... talking like hot showers, you know, good water
really
pressure.
Good filtration.
It's just a thing that you take
for granted, you
and
do.
And then you're in Ireland and you're like, are we ever going to have good water pressure ever again?
Maybe not.
And you get back to the U.S. and you're like, oh, you know what?
This part is good.
Yeah. Proper shower, friend.
Well, wonderful. After the first of the year, our doors open. You can come back and we can talk about all the fun stuff you did in 2025.
Love it.
Yes.
And all the things we didn't get to cover
this
time.
I know. But time goes by.
In fact, that's the only problem we have with having you guys in. The time goes by. It's like somebody speeds up the clock.
So. Next year, we'll come in. We could talk Abbey Road because we'll bring you some recordings. Maybe we'll do maybe we'll do a debut here on WGN
for
some tracks, first time heard type of thing.
That
would be
fun. You holler anytime.
Yeah. We will.
Josh and Erica, The Empty Pockets. Can I just take a moment to say, for those of you who've been having difficulty listening to the stream, maybe you've gone back to your radio and you got frustrated because there was a glitch where things were repeating. We're told if you restart the app, that may do the trick. Now, some people are having some good luck with restarting.
Yeah, we've heard from a couple of people that have said, yeah, restarting the app made all the difference
so
in the world.
So close out and then restart it and see if you have better luck. And we're sorry about
that.
And
let us know if you have better luck.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we have so many things to talk about tonight. First of all, blatant plug. For people who don't know what the heck Consumer Guide is or who this Tom Appel guy is, who are you, Tom, and what is Consumer Guide?
Consumer Guide has been around since 1967. And if you go far enough back with Consumer Guide, we used to review all sorts of stuff, washing machines, lawnmowers, but we're just cars now and have been for a couple of decades. But consumerguide.com, you can read all of my new car reviews. You can check out our best buy picks if you're going car shopping, plus fun old car stuff too. And if you go to that website, you can stream the Car Stuff podcast right there on our homepage, or you can download it anywhere.
And your Car Stuff podcast had a little bit of a milestone this past week, right?
We did, 300 episodes, somehow, some way.
Yeah, congratulations.
That's wonderful.
Thank you.
That's a lot of words.
I've enjoyed it. And thanks to my co-host, Jill Simonello. She's been very good at this.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that you had a cake. Now, I'm surprised it wasn't a big donut cake.
I was surprised by the cake. I was prepared to go out and buy a lot of donuts, but my wife surprised me with the cake. So that was a very nice thing to have in studio.
And she's a very good baker, too. So you were very lucky. Yeah.
That's true.
Okay. Where do we start?
Well, one of the things that we had talked about last time, and a lot of people are very curious about it, we said we were going to spend some time talking about affordable vehicles. So now, what are we using to define affordable in today's automotive pricing climate?
There's a very unfortunate number here I'm about to throw out, but the fact is that cars under 20 grand really don't exist anymore. And increasingly, people looking for a small vehicle want all-wheel drive and they want a crossover. So realistically, the least you can do a new vehicle for, realistically, that's worth owning, $25,000, $26,000. The number I'm shooting for is about $30,000.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I think that's because there's stuff there that you're going to want, especially if you're going to sign up for this car for 6 or, God forbid, 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe 50 years, since now they're talking 50-year mortgages, sure.
Well, it would be a 15-year car, 50-year mortgage.
Mm. Okay, so how much, and again, we're talking new vehicles. How many things do we have to choose from if we're using that $30,000 as the high price point?
If you were looking at $30,000, your options are fairly wide open. There's a lot of good stuff out there. You just want to make sure that what you're doing is getting something that suits you. And fortunately for me and for this conversation, I recently went car shopping with my daughter. These are the cars. We're about to discuss the cars that she was looking at and what she wanted on these cars and the surprising reasons that she passed on certain vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
So before we get to what she decided on, where did you start?
So we started by, I was so annoying, I'm sure. I kept shooting her my reviews of vehicles that I wanted her to consider. And she did her own shopping as well. So we came up with a list of vehicles, and we didn't include everything. There's a couple of things we didn't include, like the Toyota Corolla Cross.
Mm-hmm.
One, because I don't actually enjoy driving it, but also you really want the hybrid if you go with that vehicle, and that throws you over the price limit by a lot.
Does that put you closer to $40,000?
$35,000 at least with the hybrid. And you want the hybrid. There's no power in the base version, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. So if you're going to do any highway driving, you need to know that. And let me just say as an aside, that's why when you road test a vehicle, you need to road test it the way you're going to be driving it every day.
Yeah. Don't
take
just,
it around the block.
Don't just go into a dealership and say, I want to get a 25 Snazmobile LX. And if they say, okay, well, here's one, but we'll have a different one in. No, you want to drive the vehicle you're going to buy.
You do, yeah. And one of the big reasons for that, too, is that if you change trim levels, you're probably going to change wheels and tires, and that can have a massive impact on ride quality. And if you live in Chicago, for example, where the roads aren't great, ride quality can seriously impact your satisfaction with that vehicle for the 4 or 5 or 6 years you're financing it. So you really want to know what you're getting.
Mm-hmm. And let me underscore again what Tom said. You want to test drive the vehicle, and if the dealership doesn't want to let you test drive, or if they, God forbid, say, okay, you have to leave your license with us, no, walk out the door immediately. Yeah.
But if you have to take a salesperson with you, yeah, so that you can really try it out, that's fine.
In fact, I love the attitude of one of the people that, sadly, we wanted to buy a car from this guy, but he just didn't have a car we wanted. He said, hey, I'll go along for the ride, but I may fall asleep in the back seat. Take it wherever you want to go.
As opposed to the one person that got in the car with us and talked incessantly. And I said, well, I'll sit in the back seat. At one point, we stopped, and I got in the back seat just to see what that was like. He got in the front seat, and he kept monkeying with the radio. And you're going, stop it. I don't need you to do that while
I said, we can test the radio while we're sitting in the parking lot. But now we're driving. I want to hear the road noise, the wind noise. I want to pay attention to all that stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
We are lucky enough to get Tom to join us a couple times a month. And the last time he was on with us weeks ago, a couple of listeners said, you know what? You're talking about cars that are like the $50,000 range. I can't go there. And we said, you know, we need to do a segment on cars that you can actually get your hands on at a more reasonable. I'm not saying cheap. Right. I'm not saying inexpensive. A more reasonable
for today's price range.
A $30,000 range.
And Tom, I know we're talking about some of the cars that you looked at as you were shopping with your daughter. But also, what were some of the things in that price range, even things she didn't want to look at, but just to be objective, things that are available out there right now for people who are looking in that price range?
So we looked at a top trim level Nissan Kicks. That came in fifth place for us, but there's a lot here to like, and I'll tell you why my daughter didn't like it in a moment. But it is a roomy, relatively fun-to-drive car with a very modern interior, and you get into a lot of the tech features at a very low trim level. A lot here to like, and fun colors, too, which was important to my daughter. The downside was very limited power was one problem, and then a couple of key features that my daughter wanted, like a heated steering wheel, came only in the top trim level with a package. Mm. So all of a sudden, we were looking at a $32,000 or $33,000 car before tax. So we passed on that vehicle, but there's a lot there to like, especially if you can go with a lower trim level.
Would you agree that it's important when you go shopping for a new car, if hypothetically $30,000 is your top price, you walk in and you tell the salesman, "This is my top price." Now, hear me, top price. You are not going to talk me into anything above $30,000. Because they will try to talk you into all kinds of things, and you have to just be willing to walk away and say, no, didn't you hear me the first time? Financing and everything, $30,000 is where we're going.
Be strong, right?
Well, that's exactly right, Johnny. If you can stick to that number, then go ahead and tell them that, and then you can shop within that boundary. But some of these guys will show you some stuff, and then all of a sudden you'll sit down and it'll be 33.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like, you're tired, you're worn out, you went on a test drive, you like the car. You know, a lot of people are just going to exhale and accept that. And you want to be sure you don't do that.
And also, never walk into a dealership with new car fever.
Right. You know, always be prepared to leave. Two vehicles we didn't look at that are very interesting to me. One is the Chevrolet Trax, and that is a small crossover. Its only serious deficiency is that it's not offered with all-wheel drive. But it is roomy, it is fun to drive, it is extremely fuel efficient, and it can be had out the door still, even with tariffs, for comfortably under 25, maybe even under 24, depending on what model you're looking at in the equipment. And the prices will go up over time on these because they're built in South Korea. But there's four vehicles. There's a quartet of these. There's the Trax, and then Chevy also sells the Trailblazer, which is on my list. It's a little bit more money, but that does come with all-wheel drive. Mm-hmm. And there are two Buicks that have very nice interiors, the Envista and the Encore GX. And they're they parallel the Trax and the Trailblazer, but very nice cars with very nice interiors. The Buicks can be had for comfortably under $30,000 with just, they're spiffy. They're nice cars. And luckily we can still get them.
Yeah.
And even though they are smaller-ish vehicles, they're okay for tall, big people?
I fit just fine in all of them.
Hmm.
The only thing here, and it's going to scare some people off, these are all powered by three-cylinder engines and relatively small ones, 1.2 and 1.3 liter engines. But they actually produce a significant amount of power. They are turbocharged. And only if you're looking for it will you feel the strange idle lump at a stop sign or while you're driving very slow. And an old car guy will like be like, what is this, a three-cylinder? But I don't think... I don't think most people will pick up on that.
Okay, jargon alert. Idle lump.
Yeah, three cylinders are weird because the odd count means that you have two pulses on one turn of the engine and one pulse on the other. So there's an uneven firing order. It's a little bit strange, and that means that at idle you might feel a really weird quake or shake. It's not a big deal. I didn't really notice it unless I was looking for it. But it's the kind of thing that if you got out of a really smooth Lexus V6, for example, you'd be irritated by it.
Hmm.
Now, in Chicago's weather climate, which is anything from really hot to really cold, blowy, yeah, tons of snow, these cars would work?
Yeah, they work fine. And again, the Trax and the Invista, not available with all-wheel drive, but if you step up to the Encore GX or to the Trailblazer, it's basically the same vehicle with a little bit more equipment and available all-wheel drive.
Well, that's some good news because we've not touched on those vehicles in the past. And, you know, again, I'm thinking $30,000 is a lot, but that sounds like a lot of vehicle for that. Mm-hmm.
They're surprisingly roomy and practical, and you can put four adults in them.
Hmm. Okay. What else pops up in that category? Again, looking for vehicles, for those of you just joining us, that are more reasonably priced, not cheap, a little bit more bearable, though.
Yeah, so we talked about the Trailblazer just now. That was her fourth place pick. Mm-hmm. And then we moved on to, this was an interesting car because we were looking at one we found specifically that was 1 year old, but it was available with certified pre-owned warranty and stuff. And that was the Dodge Hornet. The Dodge Hornet is a subcompact crossover that Dodge has. It's really expensive new, but they're unbelievably good deals, nearly new. And I just checked, and even though these tend to list for like just over $40,000, there are a lot of one-year-old examples out there for under $30,000. So if you're willing to go use, willing to go with certified pre-owned, it's an interesting option. And I don't know why so many of these are available in Chicago right now, but people should think about them because they're really fun to drive and they're really good looking.
Hmm.
And again, certified pre-owned is a very good option. But I think, as you've said in the past, if you're going to buy a certified car, you want to buy it from a dealer that sells that brand of cars.
Correct, because you want to be sure that what you're getting is that brand's certified warranty.
Some of the other cars that you looked at and ultimately she wound up deciding to buy?
So the Kia Seltos was in second place. The Kia Seltos is a very close mechanical analog for the Hyundai Kona. And the weird thing was we couldn't find a Kona in Chicago. They were all sold out. But we did drive the Seltos, and there's a big price range there. You can get one as little as 24, 25 grand. But they tend to get over 30 grand in a hurry if you get a top trim level with a turbocharged engine. Mm-hmm. But this is a very nicely finished vehicle, very refined. There's really not a lot here to not like, except that even the turbocharged engine isn't especially powerful.
I'm curious, speaking of not being able to find a Hyundai Kona in the area,
yeah,
has anybody broken down regionally the most popular vehicles, say, Midwest, East Coast, West Coast, South, Mid-South? Because I really think the Hyundai in the Midwest is wildly popular.
Yeah.
There is a list that comes out every year, and I'll send it to you if I can remember who publishes it, of the most popular cars by state.
Oh, good.
And they're really interesting. Yeah, and Chicago and Illinois is the Honda CR-V.
What?
Interesting.
Yeah, which is a great vehicle, which you cannot do for 30 grand.
Yeah.
Right. So what did your daughter finally wind up getting?
we ended up finding an unbelievably good deal on a less than 1-year-old Mazda CX-30. This is Mazda's subcompact crossover, and my daughter is a power nut, so we got the turbocharged version. But this was just sitting there on their lot, and for some reason, deeply discounted as certified pre-owned. So we ended up buying a used car with 8,000 miles on it with a wonderful warranty and kind of a fun color. And the turbocharged engine is a rocket in this small car. It's 250 horsepower. It's a lot of horsepower for this class of vehicle. But beautiful interior, too. My daughter's very happy.
That is a cool story.
So we've had a bunch of questions. One of them, do we want a really quick... Let's jump to
line
see
one.
If we can bring this up real quick.
And again, we're at 312-981-7200.
And Ron, you had a question for Tom?
Yes, Johnny, Steve, and Tom. A bad mood rising, but Tom, did any of those cars come up with a standard transmission? The old stick shift.
No, there are no small crossovers left in the U.S. with stick. And in fact, stick is almost completely disappearing by next year. It's just a couple of Porsches, some base models of Subaru and Honda products. But no, it's basically disappearing. And I think it's gone from Volkswagen now, too, for 2026.
Can you get a Mustang with a stick?
You can get the Mustang GT. That's the V8, the more expensive version.
The more expensive.
That can still be had with stick. No Corvettes, however. Wow. And just for fun, no Ferraris, no Lamborghinis. No
what?
McLaren. Yeah.
And we should underscore one of the main reasons, and I'll stick with Corvettes, one of the reasons you're not seeing manual transmissions in Corvettes is because the automatic transmissions are performing just as well, if not better, in most categories than the manual transmissions did. Aren't they, Tom?
Yeah, and that's absolutely true in the case of the Corvette. And Porsche builds an unbelievably good double-clutch transmission, which is a form of automatic, but it's a different construction. It's more manual-like. That performs so well. And when they test drive these things on a racetrack, the automatics wildly outperform the manuals.
Now, again, while it's for manual purists, it's not what they want, but many vehicles have the shifters on the other side of the shift levers on the other side of the steering wheel.
It's interesting, too, now that we're not trying to make automatic shifters look like manual transmissions, it has freed up manufacturers to move them or do different things with them. And in Hyundai electric products and Kia electric products, for example, there's actually something that looks a little bit like a stalk, like a turn signal stalk, that you rotate to change gears. It seems weird, but it actually works really well.
So, Ron, I hope that answers your question. Sadly, not a whole lot of manual transmissions available.
We touched on the most popular cars in Chicago, and the Honda CR-V is the most popular. I find this amazing. The Ford F-150 pickup truck. I'm like, in Chicago, in the city?
But see, it doesn't surprise me that the Ford F-150 is popular everywhere.
Well, a close second is the Chevy Silverado 1500, and this comes from the site Insure on the Spot. Okay. And we're not talking about the drink insurer. We're talking about insurance. but the CR-V, and right behind the CR-V is the RAV4, which is understandable. And all-weather favorite are both of those vehicles. But I always scratch my head when I think, like, when we pull in the garage here at the building, and I'm thinking, oh, if you're in one of those big honking trucks, and we see them parked in the garage, it just, I just like, am I going to make it? Is it going to fit? Is it okay? I don't know.
I have seen Suburbans in that garage, and I don't know how anyone did that.
I know, yeah.
But just to... a plea, and I'm basing this on something we saw earlier this week when we were driving to the northern suburbs, and there was a guy who had, I don't even remember what it was, but it was a big honking SUV, and he was zipping around everybody, and he was right on the bumper of every car in front of him. I mean, he was an accident waiting to happen. If you get a big honking SUV, don't lose your sanity at the same time, okay?
Just, no, so much weight, so much mass.
Copies of this editorial are available on request, upon request.
So, what are you driving, and what do you think about it?
I am so glad you asked me that. I'm finally behind the wheel of something I've been dying to drive now for almost 2 years. But I've been spending the week with the Lucid Air. And for people who don't know, Lucid is an EV startup. They're located in California. They build their vehicles in Arizona. And these you've seen them on the road. They're very low, very sleek, big sedans. And they're sort of competition for the Mercedes-Benz S-Class or the BMW 7 Series. But they look fantastic. And they look fantastic inside. And I got to tell you, they are fantastic to drive.
Really?
Oh, my gosh. They're so delightful. They're lightning fast, beautifully finished, wonderfully handling. They are so comfortable on the highway. It's so quiet. They're extremely aerodynamic, which contributes to that that sound level. In fact, it breaks my heart to tell you this. I don't really fit in this car. It is very low, and the doors are very small, and it is very hard for me to get in and out of this vehicle. And I suspect if you're much over 6 foot tall, you're going to have the same problem I had. And it's a shame. Rear seat's also not especially generously sized. But boy, if you fit in this car and you're looking for a classy electric vehicle, it's incredible. All sorts of range. It charges very quickly.
What is the range?
I wrote this down here. It's right around 400 miles of range.
Ooh, that's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, 620 horsepower. It's really 431 miles. I sold it short. 620 horsepower. This is the second from the bottom trim level. This is the Touring, and it comes in right at $100,000.
I was going to ask, with all of that wonderfulness, I assumed there would be a lot of zeros in the price.
Wow.
Yeah, and
wow,
it is priced right there with German premium big sedans.
Yowza. And where would you have it?
Is it too soon to know about what the depreciation on those is?
Unfortunately, it's kind of high. I was just talking to someone, actually. I talked to a woman at the health club who was thinking about buying one. She had purchased a Polestar, which is another EV startup. It's a division of, more or less a division of Volvo. It's complicated. But she was disappointed that her Polestar has terrible resale value because she wants to move on to another car. And that's the problem right now. EVs, not worth a lot used. But here's the deal. Now that the tax credits are gone, we may see demand shift to used EVs, which will sort of shore up that used that used car value.
Where would you get an Air serviced?
Well, that's a good question. In Chicago, I think there is one or two locations where you can get one serviced, so it's not a big deal. However, if you live in Nebraska, you're kind of hosed. you're gonna have to drive some distance to find a service center.
Well, that brings up an interesting question. With a lot of newer vehicles, if you buy this new SNASmobile and you live in Nebraska or wherever, what are your options? Is the information available to a lot of the mom-and-pop shops or not?
Regular maintenance could probably be handled at local shops. And you guys are raising a really interesting question. You remember Fisker, now failed EV startup? Fisker had struck a deal with Merlin, which I believe has also failed, but that was a chain of repair shops in the United States with pretty good distribution. Fisker was pairing up with Merlin for Merlin to do regular maintenance and repair work on vehicles. So that was an interesting thing. And because they didn't have dealerships, these locations are going to have to serve basically as dealerships.
Yeah, you almost wonder, because I'm trying to think about, for example, our town in Florida and the panhandle of Florida. And I know the dealerships that we have available to us, maybe a half a dozen of them.
And if you don't have your vehicle serviced by a brand dealer, does that void your warranty?
Probably not, depending on the service. And one of the good things about an EV is it doesn't require much service. So that's the good news. Mostly brake inspections and tire rotations. And you absolutely want to do the tire rotations because the vehicles are very heavy and they do wear through tires. So you want to have those rotations done. And you can have anyone rotate your tires. That's not a big deal.
We have a friend. I'm trying to think of what his car was, but he would literally drive to New Orleans to take his car to the dealership, drive to New Orleans from Florida, from the panhandle of Florida, because he was afraid that if he took it to just any dealership, that he was going to negate his warranty. And no one ever told him not, so he just drove for 5.5 hours to New Orleans.
Was that an Audi?
I think it was an Audi, yes.
Yes.
Interesting.
And there was no one in town that could service it.
There was nobody in Panama City or Panama City,
City Beach. Nobody in Destin, so he would go all the way to New Orleans.
In fact, remember, your dad drove with him a couple times.
My dad said, we got there, and then they told him he had like $2,000 worth of stuff that needed to be done. And he goes, well, how are we going to get back home? Are we going to stay in a motel? What's going to happen? It was very weird. Okay, so there, our listener from a 319 area code was asking about the 4Runner that you'd commented on a couple months ago, and what do you think would be the most recent year of a 4Runner that it would be a good ride and a good buy?
I want to clarify something. I doubt I said that I wouldn't buy the new one. I was probably talking about how purists would really want to prefer the old vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And here's why. It was redesigned, the 4Runner, which is about the size of Toyota's Highlander, but it's a body-on-frame design. It's designed for off-road use. It's pretty trucky in construction, though I just drove one. It's more refined than you'd expect. But the deal is it went from this old-school – it hadn't been redesigned in years, and it had an old-school 4-liter big V6 that produced a lot of torque that was really good for off-road use. And I think that off-road purists probably prefer that engine. For 2025, the vehicle was updated and went with a series of turbocharged engines, a base engine that's, 278 horsepower, or a hybrid version that's 326 horsepower. The problem is the prices went up a lot for 2025, and the turbocharged engine might be a little bit more difficult to sort of modulate in off-road use. It's a very good vehicle, no reason not to buy it, but 2024 would be the last year of the old design with the old engine.
Okay.
So let's, as we segue to recalls, let's stay with Toyota for a second.
Yeah, they got some more troubles, don't they, Tom?
More of the same.
Yeah.
It's kind of disappointing. But 127,000 Toyota and Lexus products. These are the Tundra, the big pickup truck, the LX, which is the big Lexus crossover, and the GX, which is the midsize crossover. But it's the exact same engine we've been talking about before, and the same problem, which is debris from manufacturing found in the engine, messing with the engine.
And we first started talking about this how long ago?
Maybe a year.
Yeah, and now on that very same problem, you've got the Stellantis recall.
Oh.
And that's like 113,000 vehicles, possibly because of engine failure or compartment fire, and they're pointing to debris inside the engine as the cause of the problem.
What is going on with debris inside the engine? Are any of these, understanding they're different companies, are any of these sourced from the same place?
No, there wouldn't be any Toyota Stellantis relationship at all. So it's very strange. And I don't know why this is a problem now. I can only guess that refining, like they're actually finishing the engines even more closely than they used to, which makes the debris more difficult to remove from the engine. And a lot of that should be trapped in the oil filter, but if it never gets to the oil filter, and in the case of the Toyotas, we know it was debris getting trapped in the main bearings, which is crucial, critical to engine operation. That's brutal. And it, obviously, Toyota's replacing engines, and that's probably what's going to happen here as well.
Yeah, with 113,000 vehicles affected. Real quick, a listener from 630 says, Tom, can you give me a piece of advice for a college graduate to buy or lease a vehicle in May of 2026? A couple of cars that come off right off the top of your head.
A college graduate, so he probably wants something kind of nice that he's going to work his way into. If we're not talking brand new, like a one-year-old or two-year-old Acura Integra is a really great little sporty car. It's about the size of a Honda Civic, and it's based on the Honda Civic, so that's a great way to go. What else is there that's really nice? I might also recommend what would I do? Again, we were talking about the Dodge Hornet earlier. If you want something cool – They're not selling them for 2026, but there are 2025s and 2024s out there with steep, steep discounts. It's a sporty car. It's kind of upscale. And if you don't need a lot of back seat space, it's a fun way to go, too.
On the subject of the 4Runner, the listener says, for the price, I think I'll go old school 4Runner. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Tom. And another listener said, in fact, a couple said, could you please list the affordable used cars on your WGN website? Well, we will have our podcast available to you. But, Tom, could we ask you to just kind of give us a written copy of those vehicles that you talked about, and we will put them up on our pages.
And particularly used cars, not just the new cars, but some of the used cars that might work.
I'll send you a link to the article I wrote about shopping with my daughter.
Okay.
And then I'll add some used cars to look for, too.
That's awesome. Good. Because obviously a lot of people, as they said, we love when Tom's on the radio, but I have so many questions, he'll never be able to get to all my questions. In fact, Dan Lewandowski, I'm sorry, I don't think we're going to be able to get into much about the, he says, back to the not so affordable category. He's listening in Wichita Falls, Texas. He wants to know your moles inside the Lexus Corporation. What are they telling you about unique features with a Lexus? Because apparently he's looking to buy one. But you got 30 seconds to tell us anything unique
Unique features about the Lexus. Okay, I've got a great one. The Lexus LS, the car that really started it all back in 1989, being discontinued after 2026. There will only be 500 examples of the 2026 Lexus LS. This is a really nice, large sedan. Resale value is strong. It's a car that never got the love just because the BMW 7 Series and Mercedes-Benz S-Class always did. But nice car, and Lexus is getting away from cars, and this is kind of a secret thing that's out there. And if you're interested, you might want to get your money down soon because they're going to be in short supply.
That is interesting.
And they're going away just because Lexus is saying, cars not so much. Everybody is moving on to trucks and SUVs.
That's exactly why. That's exactly why.
Okay, what can we find on your page, in your podcast?
Okay, I wrote a crazy article last week just because I didn't want to review a car that day. It's about the 1983 Miss Universe contest in St. Louis that was sponsored by Chrysler. And you can check out the ad. I can send you guys a link along with the other stuff. The newspaper ad is really, really bad. It looks like a high school art project.
Yeah.
And there's just cars floating around and a really bad representation of the arch in the background because it's St. Louis. And this just cracks me up. And there's clip art of models. It's so funny. It's the cheesiest ad ever.
And you can follow Tom. Go to consumerguide.com and check out Car Guy Tom on Blue Sky. And we will do this again in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Tom.
Time for another edition of Sports Between the Sheets. And who is that guy?
Well,
we haven't seen him.
He's older than the last time we saw him. I know that much.
And he is many pounds lighter than the last time we saw him. Hey, Gabe.
Well, it was also my understanding that you two missed some time as well. I hope you both are okay.
Yes, yes.
Oh, we're doing
fine. It was a horrible bug. And you were not out because of a bug. You were working other shifts, and then you had that little birthday thing you were celebrating, right?
And my wedding anniversary as well.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, so, congratulations on all of the above.
Yeah.
Don't tell my wife, okay?
Okay. All right, we've got a game at noon. It was funny because last week, knowing that you were not here on Saturday night, I was thinking, oh, Gabe is so happy he gets to watch the game with both eyes open. Maybe not so much today.
And if the Bears played as well as they did in the last quarter last week, oh, boy, would they be the team to beat. But can they do more than the fourth quarter? What do you think, Gabe?
Well, considering their recent lack of success against Minnesota, especially what happened in week one, they're definitely going to have to. But let me start by saying that last week I was probably yelling at the TV for the first three quarters, and then the fourth quarter they got it right.
Yep.
Of course, this week, obviously, it was announced Saturday that Jalen Johnson will not be available. He started practicing with the team again Saturday. He got hurt in week two. As we know, he missed the entire preseason because he was banged up as well.
Yeah.
They still have that 21-day window on him, so they still have a couple weeks before they could decide if they're going to put him back on the roster or put him on season-ending injured reserve. With the fact that he is practicing is a good sign. I know some Bears fans on social media had commented to me, oh, well, you know, doesn't look good. Maybe he's not fully healed yet. I think maybe it's probably more of a conditioning thing because he hasn't really played football this year.
Mm-hmm.
But they can certainly use him because Justin Jefferson is going to be playing wide receiver for Minnesota. One advantage, though, that the Bears do have heading into this game is as the Bears have been racking up the wins, Minnesota's been racking up the losses, and they've been dealing with injuries of their own, including to their quarterback, J.J. McCarthy. He's back this week. He's been banged up, and you know, the Vikings they've really just taken a pounding these last couple of weeks. And you know, you'd like to think that this would be the perfect time for the Bears to pounce on that, but as we've seen, especially you know Minnesota on their home field, you know their recent mm-hmm. success against the Bears speaks for itself. So
yeah,
Bears are going to have to definitely play a full four quarters if they're going to want to pull this off today. I think they can. I think they will, but it will be close because Minnesota always plays them tough. But again, injuries on both sides are certainly going to play a factor.
But this is really the part of the Bears season that begins their toughest part of the season. I mean, it's been comparatively easy up to this point. Now they're playing some serious football teams.
Yeah, the way that the schedule winds up towards the end, and we talked about this when the schedule was announced back in April, that it was going to be tough. Did we think the Bears would be 6-3 at this point? No, but we're glad that they are. But again, mm-hmm. it's going to be a tough stretch of games, especially rounding out the rest of the division schedule. Got to play Detroit one more time. Got to play both games against Green Bay. Although, you know, Green Bay is struggling, which is, you know, is a good thing to see, I guess. But I will say this, however, the Bears, if they win, and if Detroit loses on Monday night, the Bears will have first place all mm-hmm. to themselves.
All to themselves in the NFC North. And so we watched Detroit to see what happens with them. But this is kind of a big deal in general because it looks like they could make the playoffs. I think I heard Hamp say yesterday, at this point, they have a 44% chance of going into the playoffs. If they win today, they have a 55% chance of going into the playoffs. Pretty big deal, right?
Last I checked, the Bears had moved up to that seventh and final spot in the playoff picture. So if the season were to end today, they would be in, but they would be mm-hmm. a seventh seed, which means they wouldn't get any home games. They wouldn't get the first round bye. They probably won't get the first round bye at this point, but to at least, you know, be able to get a home game out of it would be nice. But again, we got to finish the rest of the regular season first. Certainly, they've defied expectations to this point. Certainly have erased the horrible memory of last year that still gives me migraines and stomach aches and everything in between. But again, like I said, getting this win is going to be huge, not just because, you know, it'll be their seventh win of the season, but also because look at how they've struggled against division opponents in these last few seasons.
Yeah.
And we, you know, now we're going across, you know, three different head coaches where, you know, we're struggling to win division games. So there's a lot more on the line than just, you know, getting a win and improving, you know, playoff chances and things of that nature. It's about, you know, getting a leg up on some division opponents. Right now Minnesota's at the bottom of the division.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to keep them down there, and especially mm-hmm. with the chance to have first place all to yourselves by Monday night. The Bears definitely going to have to be on their P's and Q's, and they've been able to work through the injuries that they've been dealing with all year. They're still dealing with injuries this week. You're going to have guys that are playing through pain, and of course, you're going to have guys that are out, and Jalen Johnson being a good example. So if the Bears can just keep holding it together, they'll be in a good place. Like I said, I think they'll win today. They'll take advantage of you know, the worst situation that Minnesota's in as opposed mm-hmm. to them, but I think it'll be a close game.
Well, hopefully we'll have some moments like we had last week with Caleb Williams. I mean, there were some moments in the fourth where you went, dang, that was some good.
That last run was I was yelling at the TV.
Yeah.
We were all yelling at the TV, but what I can say is that there were many times, not just earlier this season, but last season, where if he had done the same thing,
mm-hmm.
if he had taken off and ran forward instead mm-hmm. of just trying to scramble around and try to find an open receiver and either end up taking a sack or having to throw the ball away, You know, we could be looking at some different situations here, but it's good to see that, you know, these last couple of weeks he's been fearless in that regard, and if he can continue to do that, that'll definitely put the Bears in a better position.
The thing that scares me more than anything else is anytime it looks like he's taking his time trying to figure out who to throw to the ball. Get rid of it!
I get rid of it, throw it away, run, yes. Do something, do not take a sack, and then takes a sack, and then I start saying words that I can't repeat on the radio.
Yep. Right.
And then my wife has to be, you know, what's wrong with you? Are you okay? Do I need to call a doctor? So You know, my wife still doesn't, you know, grasp that, you know, the city lives and dies by the Bears.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, and I have to explain to her that, you know, millions of other people are also yelling at the TV just as I am. I'm not the only one.
So what are you going to call the score?
You know, I'm going to go ahead and say that it's going to be Bears 20, Vikings 17.
Mm.
Okay. It's going to be a tight game.
Hamp said 27-21.
He may not be too far off on that, but I go again when I look at, you know, just the injuries and just, you know, like I said, the Bears, as well as they've been playing, they still have some things to clean up, and Minnesota's just a mess right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but now here's the key question as we wrap things up. What is the go-to snack for today's game?
Well, let's see. If I'm awake during the early stages of the game, I'll probably be working out.
Okay, good.
I'll probably be in my home gym working out, and I'll probably have my game on my laptop or my phone or whatever device is available to me at the time, and then I'll probably have a nutritious breakfast afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
But ideally, I would love to have a big bowl of some sort of chips of some kind with a nice big container of dip next to it, but that's how I got in this mess in the first place.
And you're doing really well.
Thank you.
But actually, since it's the Bears, the go-to snack is fingernails.
Right.
Well, I don't have any to bite, but you know, maybe
that's where your wife comes in handy. Give me your hand, honey.
No, I could probably just pull the hair off my arms or something.
Oh, I'm so damn disgusted with this.
Hopefully he won't be saying that later today.
That's right. Thank you, Gabe. Gabe's going to put his news hat back on. And
again, that was Dan Hampton. Or no, that was OB. Yeah. And for anybody who hasn't listened to Hamp and OB, as I say too many times, but it's so true, even if you could care less about sports, Hamp and OB are great radio.
Honestly, pregame, their pregame will be 11 o'clock this morning, and then the best is after the game.
Yes.
I mean, there have been times when we miss the game, but we hurt ourselves getting to the radio so we can hear what they have to say about it. And there have been times when I look to you and say, well, did they win? I can't tell the way they're talking. Turn out they won, but, you know, they still had problems. Like, I was excited about Caleb, and OB was going, yes, but, and I'm screaming at the radio, what do you mean, yes, but? He did really well. Okay, that's this week's edition of Sports Between the Sheets.
Julian, are you too young to have ever had the opportunity to see Ramsey Lewis perform live?
Probably.
You know, Bob Kessler, new afternoon newsman, was Ramsey Lewis's producer for many, many years.
Wow.
Yeah. Traveled with him all over the place. In fact, keeper of the big plug, Bob Fukuda, traveled with them too. Yeah, sure. Bob has some great stories about traveling with Ramsey Lewis.
Well, we got to get Bob on here sometime.
Yes.
We can talk about his new slot.
Yes, he's moving up from middays to afternoons. And
Steve Bertrand has decided to have a life.
Whew. He started his goodbye show in the morning with Surratt, and he ended his goodbye show
with Landecker.
He was here all day?
Pretty much.
Landecker, he
was in traffic.
He was in traffic, yeah.
Yes, he was heading home. He said, it's just appropriate that I should start my day at the crack of dawn and end it with you.
But I did like that when he was talking with Landecker, he said that he will, you know, possibly be coming back to do some podcast stuff, and I hope so.
Yeah, and I hope he gets to travel, and I hope he just gets to enjoy life.
Lauren Lapka is now going to be doing middays with John.
Right. You started the same year that Steve did, 1984.
Yeah, 1984.
I came on board in 1985. Mm-hmm. So we figure since Dean did not start here until 1990, that at this point in time, we would be the ones with the most seniority at the station, even though we left for a few years.
There's no prize, but I think that is probably true.
But, you know, let the record show that we have the most seniority. Yeah. Doesn't make us the oldest.
And also let the record show, I'm going to pat us on the back. We were the ones who first hired Bob Kessler at this radio station.
That's true. He was our producer, and we adored working with him. And
we knew there was something special going on there.
He left us, and then he came back again. He missed us. He came back one more time. Speaking of music and things that happened in this past week, Julian, do you ever watch Jimmy Kimmel?
I saw that. I
did
know
you?
What you guys are talking about.
Oh, my gosh. Tuesday night with his tribute, his 22-minute tribute to his best friend, Cleto Escobedo. Oh.
Cleto Escobedo III.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, and
it's hard for me to even talk about it.
I could be wrong. If you haven't seen it, look it up online. I could be wrong, but I'm sure he had a kind of an outline of what he wanted to do, but it sure seemed like everything he was saying was off the cuff.
He was
just emotionally off the cuff.
He was riffing from the heart.
Oh,
the stories, I'm sure you experienced the same thing where you're laughing and the next thing you know, you're crying. They were just so good.
Yeah. And you could tell there was at least some semblance of a structure because some of the photos that they would put up, you could tell they planned part of it out.
And for those of you that didn't watch Jimmy Kimmel, you should be watching him. He's really, really good. And this is an example of a guy who was sharing a part of his life with you. The two of them, he met them
50 years.
When he was 9 years old.
Yeah, 50 years they were friends. And Cleto lived across the street, and the stories were just...
Cleto's dad was still playing in the orchestra.
Yeah.
His mom came to each show.
Wasn't that sweet that you saw mom was sitting in the audience, and dad was... And they highlighted dad playing. Cool, cool guy, and good musician. Gosh.
And was it Thursday night was a rerun for Stephen Colbert, and we both were wondering if Colbert might have gone out to Hollywood to be at the funeral.
Then just when I was recovering from watching that 22 minutes, and I mean, I cried like a baby because it was so powerful. I mean, he was just speaking from the heart.
Yeah.
And I found myself thinking everyone should be so lucky to have a friendship like that, where you just, you know, you've got brothers and sisters, but this was different. So then I'm okay. And then I come across Paula Abdul's tribute to him.
Yeah.
Because, did you come across that, Julian? Oh,
yeah,
my gosh.
Yeah, saw the same thing.
Because they worked together, and she gave him a big break.
And this was back at the height of her success.
Yeah, yeah. And then he toured with her, and he performed with so many people. Again, two goofy guys in Las Vegas grow up to be these big entertainers.
But that says volumes about Kimmel and the fact that when he went to the network, and this was a major break for him, he said, I want my friend to be the band leader.
And his dad.
And his dad.
I want his dad in the audience, in the band, too. I had not heard the cause of his death, and they announced it that Cleto Escobedo died of cardiogenic shock. I'm not familiar with that. I know it has to do with
not
the heart.
Either.
Cardiogenic shock, according to his death certificate, it means the heart is not able to pump enough blood to keep you alive.
Mm.
Now, he had a number of other things going on. He had sepsis. He had pneumonia.
He'd been hospitalized for a while.
He was immunosuppressed. He had chronic kidney disease. He had cirrhosis of the liver. Just a number of things going on. In fact, the Thursday before, there was an announcement that the audience was already waiting for Kimmel to come out. And then they announced, no, there won't be a show tonight for personal reasons. And I suspect it was because Cleto was rapidly going downhill. And then he passed away on Tuesday. And did I hear this right? He was really close with Jimmy's Uncle Frank. And Uncle Frank had passed away on Cleto's birthday.
Yes.
And when Cleto died, he died on Uncle Frank's birthday.
Yeah.
Whew.
Make of that what you will.
Yeah. Did you pick up on that, Julian? I mean, that was like a Ouija moment. I was like, wow.
It's one of those things that makes you think, hey, maybe there is a higher power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, Kimmel is one of those... The few shows that we DVR all the time. In fact, sometime we should do just a list of what are the shows that you have to DVR, even if you don't watch them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You at least want to see what's going on what show. And with us, it's certainly Kimmel and Colbert.
Mm-hmm.
And
we record Fallon, but that's just to see who his guests are.
Yeah.
And I just don't have enough time to watch all of that.
And I honestly mean no disrespect to Jimmy Fallon, because he is a real talent, and oh boy, does he work hard at what he does. But there are times when I want him to stop smiling and acknowledge what's going on a given day.
Yeah.
And not just be over the moon smiling and laughing about every guest that comes on, and they're the greatest that he's ever had on the show, and blah, blah, blah. After a while, I go, right over my head, and I said, no, yeah. I'm sorry.
But sometimes I'm watching him being all gushy and giddy, and I'm thinking, you know what? He's like, pinch myself. I have the best job in the world. I'm sitting
here.
And
God bless him. He works so hard at it.
I'm hanging with Taylor Swift all night long. Yeah. This is cool. We're playing games and things. And yeah, you're right. We are going to take a break for news. And guess what? We're into the final stretch of the show.
And we haven't even talked about food yet.
Well, we still have time.
Because we're starting to run out of time, I should mention that, speaking of time, next week we have a full show, 9 p.m. start. And joining us as we continue our holiday season concert series, next week in studio with us, bringing her harp guitar, will be Muriel Anderson.
Woo-hoo! She's actually flying in early to do our show that night.
Because her annual Saturday After Thanksgiving show will be on, oddly enough, the Saturday After Thanksgiving, which will be a week later. But next week, Muriel will be in the studio with us. And we'll be talking all kinds of computer stuff, technology stuff with Dr. Patrick Crispin.
Mm-hmm.
So that's some of what's coming up next week. And again, we have a full show, 9 p.m. start. You might want to get your dialing fingers ready, because moments from now, we will be pitching for our last caller. 312-981-7200 if you want to be our last caller.
And thanks to Deanna, she reminds me, I knew this, I just forgot it, because it was brought up on the Colbert Show, that song Human Mind was written by Hozier and Alison Russell.
Okay.
But I think Jeff is on the album with her.
Because we saw her, I think it was when Colbert did his show from the Chicago Theater, and I think was that when Jeff Tweedy was on with Mavis,
and
they
did
a song that he wrote.
That's when we realized that Colbert has a love thing for her. He just absolutely adores her.
And for Chicago. There's something about Colbert's shows from the Chicago Theater. They have a special vibe.
Absolutely. Yep.
Let's see. I'm going over our list of things we didn't get to. Or we didn't do our Mary medical update.
We didn't. I've got so many things to tell you guys.
Yeah, sadly, we have had more doctor's appointments on our calendar than we wanted to.
Let me just quickly say that if you need to have a sleep study done, if you're like me, you have resisted for years because you're thinking, I don't want to sleep in some antiseptic place that's not my bed. You don't have to do that anymore. It's amazing. You wear the monitor. You sleep in your bed.
Mm-hmm.
You take the monitor off.
And the thing we found out from the doctors, that the study that you do at home is actually more reliable than what you would do when you go into the hospital to do a sleep study, because you are more inclined to be more relaxed in your own bed.
That's exactly what I was told, because I said, well, I'm not really keen on this, and I've resisted it for years, and come to find out that it's just that simple. You just put that right there and on your heart, above your heart, you go to sleep. No, I actually strapped it above my heart, and you've got the oximeter connected to your finger. Yeah, it sounds pretty complicated, but it's not. You just crawl into bed, you go to sleep, you take it off, you put it in a box, you mail it back to them, and then you get your result. Amazing.
Yep.
The other thing that I recently experienced was wearing a heart monitor. I was kind of getting the two confused. If you're freaked out by that, because in the past you had to carry a heart monitor in a pack with you, and you had to put it in a baggie so you could take a shower. Oh, piece of cake nowadays, unbelievable, about the size of a quarter, that goes right over your heart, and it's actually a push button. So if there's any moment where you feel any kind of stress, you just push that button, mm-hmm. and it goes in your file, and then you send it back to them, and they read it. Amazing.
And as long as we're doing the Mary Medical Update, really quick, because the Zamboni is about to descend on us. But for those of you who think you might have to wear a CPAP for sleeping, mm-hmm. oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, did Johnny find a good thing.
Did a lot of research after that sleep study, and come to find out, very reputable sources are reporting that you need to know that when you get a CPAP, you're not addressing the cause of sleep apnea. You're just addressing the symptom. You're just blowing air in there so you can breathe mm-hmm. at night. There are ways when you can address the symptom. And something that I came across and I thought, okay, it's going to cost me $30. I'll give it a shot. It basically is a tongue restraint.
Yeah, kind of.
It's a lot like putting a pacifier in your mouth.
It looks like you're putting a pacifier, but your tongue goes into it.
Into a sleeve. Your tongue slips into a sleeve, and then the pacifier looks like clear plastic lips outside of your lips. And you are sleeping with that in your mouth, and it's holding your tongue in place so your tongue doesn't drop back into your throat and block your airways.
And I know that this may come as a shock to some people, but as the guy who sleeps with Johnny, I can testify
it's remarkable.
That from day one she used this, she stopped snoring. She breathes better.
I never snored. Stop that.
She stopped snoring.
Stop that.
She snored a lot.
Stop it. I You will pay, because I think you're going to be hungry when you get home. Ain't nothing going to be available for you. Crackers and water, maybe, because you just lied. You lied on me. You told a lie.
Speaking of no, oh,
how can that, you hear me over your own snoring? How can you hear me?
I never said I didn't snore.
Oh, it's going to be ugly when you get home. What are we going to have for dinner? Nothing.
Oops, there's the Zamboni just in time to cover up the snoring sounds.
I don't even know how to snore. See, I can't even
trust
snore.
Me, you know how.
No! 312-981-7200.
If you would like to be our last caller.
No.
And win something from this here radio place, as long as you haven't won anything in the past 2 months or 60 days, whichever comes first.
Don't look at me. Don't even look at me.
981-7200.
You're going to be so sleepy when you get home after you eat those crackers and water. We'll get to our last caller and settle this after.
And it may be the last caller.
Just real quick, I was answering some text. You can go to Amazon and look up snoring solution. But specifically, you don't want a mouth guard. You want it's a tongue sleeve.
Yeah.
So snoring solution, $29.99 is the price. You get two in the package. Mm-hmm. And easy to read instructions on how you have to warm it up before you put it in your mouth.
So, and that really does make a difference.
Makes a huge difference.
The first time you didn't.
I didn't. Because I never like to read instructions. Mm-hmm. So I didn't. And I woke mm-hmm. up the next morning and my tongue was numb. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, that's weird. How am I going to sleep with a rubber band around my tongue? Well, you mm-hmm. have to soften it up and warm it up in water.
Read the instructions.
And so I read the instructions and learned that and then slipped it. And I went, oh, that's why you have to warm it up.
And it really does make a huge.
Oh, hush. Stop. I don't sound like that.
Okay, fine. That's the other blonde I'm sleeping with.
We've got to talk about that, too. We really do. So that we don't get any deeper into this, we're putting this on Julian. You get to choose. We got a bank of calls, Julian. Choose a random number, and we'll go with whomever you choose.
Okay. All right. I pick Well, since we have two nostrils, because when we snore, it goes through two nostrils.
Some of us do.
I'm going to go with caller number two, and that is Kurt in Elk Grove Village.
Oh.
Hey, Kurt, how you doing?
Hi, Kurt.
Just fine. Just good. Fine,
Kurt, do you snore?
Not since I started wearing an adjustable mouthpiece about 10, 12 years ago.
How about that? See? So you did not go the CPAP route, right?
Right, correct.
Interesting. Interesting. So, again, that's another option for you. Really inexpensive. CPAPs run about $2,000.
Yeah.
And
my I think mine are about $50, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. And this tongue restraint is $30, and you get two in the pack. And I went to Marketplace, Kurt, and I could not believe I came across like four CPAPs where people were selling brand new. They said, I can't do it.
Yeah.
I'll sell it to you for half price. Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, if a CPAP works for you,
good.
God bless, whatever works. But if you haven't gone to a CPAP yet and you have a snoring problem, give this a try and see if it works for you.
Yeah, and Kurt, you're a good example, too, of something other than a CPAP.
So other than not snoring, why are you usually up at this hour?
Well, for one thing, I guess I've been listening to you guys since before you were married.
Wow.
I make it a point to have radio on Saturday nights.
Oh, good. Great. Thank you.
So you go back to our days at WIND.
Yeah. Well, first, Johnny was doing traffic.
With Wally Phillips and Bob Collins in the afternoon.
Yep, I got the door chimes.
Did you really? Did you ever get a Seymour Paisen scarf?
No.
Remember, along with the door chimes, it was the Seymour Paisen scarf
and Ladybug pendant watch.
And Ladybug pendant watch.
Yes. And he was like, yay, I got a pendant watch. And you got it and you went, okay.
Now what the heck am I going to do with this?
Really? That's really cool.
Well, are you normally up at this hour on the Saturday night, Sunday morning?
Hopefully, I hear you folks.
All you have to do is say, Lord willing, right? Lord willing, I'll be up and listening.
Don't rise, yeah.
You know what? A listener texted in and said that Lou Manfredini announced yesterday that he would be receiving the sword as being the longest employee at this radio station.
No,
that's not true.
Not even close.
He started in 1995. Kurt marks his calendar, 1995, okay? So when people say Lou has, no. Mm-mm.
Nope.
Yeah.
And Dean started in
1990.
Johnny started in
85.
85, and I started in 84.
Mm-hmm, with Steve Bertrand. Yep. But that's not why you called.
I wore out my life after dark sweatshirt.
Oh, you're kidding.
You have one of the highly collectible life after dark sweatshirts?
None anymore. It's gone by the wayside.
Do you know that I saw one on eBay last year and they were selling it for $75?
Wow.
And I thought, yeah, I could buy it. Nah, maybe not. And really, I know we've told this story before, but when they first came to us and said they wanted to make a shirt for us, they said, we think since you're on overnight, we should make you a night shirt.
And so we immediately said, okay, and who's going to see that?
It's not really good advertisement if you're wearing a shirt to bed. And that's when they said, oh, yeah, it's probably a good idea. So,
and that's back in the days when WGN had an art director.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's the guy that came up with the illustration
Frank.
Of the moon and the
frog.
The frog. By the way, the frog's name is Moon Pie.
The frog named Moon Pie, wearing headphones, jumping over the moon. Yeah. Some great memories. We were just kids, weren't we, Kurt, when we all started listening to the radio?
Yes.
Now, are you going to go to bed and then get up for the Bears game, or what's your Sunday going to be like?
It'll be mostly the Bears, and then make a brown dinner tonight, and the pot roast and mashed potatoes.
Oh.
Ooh. Now, do you do your pot roast in a crock pot?
No. Cast iron enamel.
Oh, that sounds good, too. Can I just say, as an aside, for the first time ever, I did baby back ribs in the crock pot.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my gosh. I could hardly get them out of the crock pot after 6 hours because they just fell off the bone. Unbelievable. Got them on sale. I said, that was a $40 meal that we got for seven bucks. It was amazing. But you know what, Kurt? Steve's having crackers and water when we get home, so feel real sorry for him when you're making that pot roast later today.
I may be heading over to your place, Kurt.
Yes. And we are going to send you a highly collectible WGN t-shirt. And out of all the people we could talk to, you certainly deserve one for being with us for all these years. Yeah. And thank you for being our last caller tonight.
Boy, this has been a fast 4.5 hours.
I know.
And our thanks to the Empty Pockets and to Tom Appel and to you guys for hanging out with us. And, of course, thanks to Keeper of the Big Plug, Bob, and to Ron and Gabe and Julian for keeping us on track and doing some what we think will be some wonderful videos of the Empty Pockets that you will be seeing in a few weeks. You were having fun tonight.
Oh, yeah, always.
So, again, when you see the podcast or you're listening and you're saying, wait, I'm not hearing the music, watch the space. You will see videos of all of the music that we have on the radio.
We have run out of time and words. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Stay safe.